and forever yours. Oomtilly, oot, 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 circus boots under the big oot, oot, oot.
We aren't done this long. It's not the whole song.
You're not all big Journey fans?
I thought iTunes is not going to be cool with that. Welcome, everybody, to the Super Larios Brothers Podcast. It's hard to say. There's now two tunes to two Larioses.
That's right. Well, you were more outnumbered on the Wire podcast.
Sean's like a Jersey tune. It's kind of its own thing.
So it doesn't really count.
Still a cadet branch.
It was a triple threat in that point, which really isn't like worth noting. But this is like the Hardy Boys and the Dudley Boys in the same ring. We're definitely
Dudley Boys. Yeah.
Sean's like Chet or whoever the Hardy Boys' friend is.
Oh, yeah. Lita, I guess.
Darren or Nan.
Yeah, no.
Got the white trash tattoo on his lip.
Yeah, he needs to start wearing his thong around outside his pants for now a little bit.
More often than you do.
Sean does show his underwear a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like that's part of him. We should stop talking about Sean, though, because he's not here. He could easily be here. I told him when this was going to be. He didn't want to be here, but instead we've got the two better tunes. The best tunes.
That's right.
Our favorite cousins. Yeah.
You know he's somewhere not wearing a belt.
7 hours past the normal time people wake up.
Just rolling out of bed right now.
Yo, 7 p.m. Ooh, time to start my day.
You got an early day.
As like you hear Netflix turning on. Bing!
Whistling the Folgers on his head.
Best part of waking up is vodka in my cup.
Now we've got our two cousins here. Some of you might remember if you listened to the Gauntlet podcast that was our Wire pod. You need to move. Your nose is blocking Tommy.
Tommy was like staring at me. I felt like my nose was in the way of him talking to you.
It really was. We have Tommy Toon returning from the Wire podcast.
That's right.
And then his older brother, John.
Hey.
As we call him John Boy. Is that not cool? What's the state
you,
of John,
you
John Boy?
Are the only ones who call me John Boy. So you're more than welcome to do so.
Are we just the only cousins that do it?
I feel like, just about.
I feel like Sean calls you
Sean.
Too.
Sean as well, but the two of you, Sean. That's really it. Sometimes Dad, when he's he gets in his in some mood, sometimes, but very rarely.
I feel like you guys are the only cousins who really talk to though. Like we see everybody else maybe like once.
Whenever
in the
there's
past,
a big
like,
family event,
years,
essentially,
which hasn't happened recently. So. Right. Like right. I guess March we saw like some of our
cousins. The walk. Oh, for the wedding.
Yeah. My parents' vow reunion.
That's right, the vow reunion. Yeah,
but like, even then, if it's not like you guys, it's just like, hey, you.
Which, cousin. Again, Sean didn't get to, by the way. I just want to point that out. Sean couldn't make it for that
true,
either.
True.
It's very busy. Joe's Crab Shack had a pretty streaming call-off
policy.
Like,
it starts at 3 p.m.
Sean's like, ooh.
That's like halfway through
I have to
my,
wake
my
up
rim cycle. And can't ruin this dream.
Everybody alive in my immediate family's going, I don't think I can make it.
I don't think I'm going to get a ride.
Scott brought his both of his kids. Sean's like, I just can't make it.
I feel like there was a point where your dad told our mom, like, he's not John Boy anymore. He's just John. And our mom was like, the hell with that. You don't get to call it. It's not John Boy for 12 years. And then all of a sudden it's John. And we're like, okay, Mom.
I did not know about that conversation.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Was it your dad who wanted us to call you John Boy at the time? Or is this something that our mom made up and printed onto us? Like, just call him John Boy and just roll with it.
I remember our mom thought it was kind of weird at first. Like, John Boy. Like, okay. That's like a real
Poppy
South
was
thing.
John. So maybe, like, if they were calling him John, then they would call
I thought it was
John
a Southern
Boy.
Thing.
That's what I thought it was. I thought it was to distinguish. That was the way it was explained to me. It was John Boy because, you know. But
How
was John?
Could be. I just assumed it was a Southern thing from, like, your mom's side, maybe.
Maybe. But I don't know. The only John Boy that I know from that side is the family members who watched the Waltons growing up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the extent of John Boy connection.
I guess it never struck me as weird, though, because we have a Tom Paul in our family, too, which is a name I've never heard anywhere outside of it.
I think they couldn't decide. They were like, Tom or Paul, just both.
Yeah, like they flipped a coin, it landed straight up. Yeah. They're like, well, that's the answer.
Coin's vertical, it's Tom Paul.
It's spelled differently, too, isn't it?
Nah, it's T-O-M-P-A-U-L. Just
is
combined
it?
To one word, yeah.
I thought it was more...
Or is it... No, it is two L's, isn't it? It's P-A-L-L.
Yeah, there's something weird going on in that.
I think it is, yeah. I'm not good at spelling names. I got my sister's name wrong once on a like embroidered gift to her. Oh, it was supposed. It was like.
Is there an H or there's no H?
There is an H. There is an H. If you thought that was the way I screwed it up, you're wrong. It was a running bib holder, so like any like bibs you get for marathon, yeah. You could like put it on a hook so you can like flip through them. And it had her name on it, and I don't know why. I guess at one point I just like had a real bad brain fart, and I spelled her name T-H-E-R-S-E-A, so like Tercy. And I was like, got it, nailed it. Sent it in. She's like, did you not know how to spell my name, or did they screw this up? There's a real moment where I was like, oh, I really could have this. Just
I would have lied, yeah.
Yeah, well, the problem was that it was wrong on that. And
it's your confirmation
the,
sponsor.
And on the, she doesn't remember. It was wrong on the item and on the shipping address. So I feel like if I had been like, no, I definitely got your name right, then she's like, why is it wrong on the shipping address too? I'm like, oh, they must have rewrote it after I sent it to them, weirdos.
She's like, I'm going to call them and put up a big stink. Is there anything you want to say before we do this?
Oh, and my favorite sister, quick. Don't call Allie.
Maybe it's just a larger thing with our family, because our sister Diane, she's D-I-A-N-N at the end, and nobody gets that right in school. Most Dianes are D-I-A-N-E. And so, we just every family has to have one person with that name.
Is that how it's spelled in the song?
No, it's an E.
No.
Oh, is it?
E in the song. It was, because she was, according to my mom, my mom does admit that it was the song, but she also had a friend who was D-I-A-N-N, a close family friend, and so that's why.
And their birthdays are right around St. Patrick's Day, aren't
they? They're on St. Patrick's
Day. And I remember my mom being like, this opportunity squandered to give them strong Irish names.
Just because they like that song.
Like, people didn't know your
about
dad
brothers
loved John
and sisters in a song about two lovers.
We did have to adjust the lyrics sometime when we'd sing the song. We used to do that on the
till that day they discovered Wikipedia. Yeah. Like, oh my god.
No.
You like tell people they're named after a song and they're like, oh, that's sweet or really weird. Yeah.
More like, wait, doesn't it. He like feel up her sweater or something like that? You're
like, don't
no.
Think about it. Hang on the 16 as long as you can.
In a brotherly way.
Oh wow. But I would say that it's great to be here. I've listened to a couple of the podcasts catching up. In fact, if I think I remember correctly, if I heard when one of the Sean episodes was here, if there was going to be a big battle of all the cousins, that I was picked fourth for Sean's team, but I wouldn't actually make it to the fight because I would be too busy chasing butterflies. That was the conclusion
in my defense. You did chase butterflies. I tell you this because my mom had to go to one of your baseball games one time, and she had nothing to say about it except one time, like John, I was like, how did John play? And she's like, he didn't really do a whole lot. One ball came in, I guess you were like outfield, and like one ball came at you, and you missed it because you were watching a butterfly.
That does sound familiar. I definitely have memories of like picking flowers in the outfield.
Fair enough.
I guess you got me.
True.
Was he the fourth on our team?
No, Tommy was our fourth.
Oh,
which we have to note, this was like 6 years ago. If it was now, I'd be like, Mikey, why the fuck are you picking me? Pick Tommy first. What are you, stupid? Sean wasted his pick on a 40-year-old man. Pick Tommy. Hot stuff Tommy.
Well, because it felt bad because his team was all his brothers and then John Boy.
Well, you picked me first, but I'm saying if the draft were to happen now, you grab Tommy. There's no guarantee he's going to pick Corey. There's none. That relationship's soured. Do not let him steal Tommy.
But if it's a family Survivor Series, it looks bad if he picks all his brothers, and I'm like, no, thank you.
I'm third is fine. If you put me ahead of Tom Paul, that'll do a lot for my ego. I'm just saying, grab this before you can. Look. Grab Brock Lesnar before you start picking up fat John Cena.
Tommy's cleanup. I need him cleaning up what's left of Sean's team afterwards.
Oh, great. So after you grab
inevitably
me...
Inevitably, Corey doesn't show up.
I'm no saying one can find that's him. The thing. We don't know if Sean would pick Corey at this point. That relationship...
What time is this fight taking place? Because if it's taking place like in the afternoon, Sean's out of it.
Well, yeah.
No, it's going to be
one knockout already.
7:30 in the morning.
8 a.m. Sean's like, what?
In Harrisburg.
Oh, he's definitely not coming. You could do it a block from his house. He still might not show up.
Scott's not showing up for that. That's an easy win.
Yeah, it's in Harrisburg, and there we go. I guess if Corey's not there, then Jack would be in there. What are your scouting report on Jack?
John would come before Jack. Yeah.
Is he a killer?
He's got a good reach, right?
Yeah, he's got some size. Like, he's definitely way bigger than me, taller.
Killer instinct?
No.
Okay.
No, more and more personality to me.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't take Tommy before me in this new Survivor Series draft.
That's, I'll stick by my roster. I think I'm pretty comfortable with
it. I mean, I'm honored. Just don't let his family down.
But then what if he picks you next?
That's an easy sabotage to his own team. He'll blow sand in all their eyes.
You say that now, but I feel like your pride wouldn't stop it, and I'd get, like, a rake in the dong, like, in the first minute.
Like, I'm like, steak, bam. I'm like, we walk out with the different, like, Civil War flags, like, two brothers on opposite sides, but we'll stand in union this moment, just as we're about to get to the ring, and just impale you in the back of the head with it, like, boom, boom, team tone.
Like, I see you whispering to Sean, like, he's definitely afraid of snakes.
Just throw a snake at him. Doesn't have to be real. He'll run. No,
just yell snake and he'll run.
Really loud.
And piddle himself.
So, just for those of you who are listening who don't know who our cousins are, you are both our cousins from our Uncle Tom. That's John's, right. Are you a year or 2 years younger than me?
I think just 1 year.
Just 1 year, 89?
Yes.
Okay. So, John's 1 year younger, and then you're or 4 years
92,
younger?
92, so.
92, okay, so 4 years younger. Yeah. And because of that age range, we hung out a lot as kids. We were in the same general area. We both always, all of us have essentially lived in Harrisburg for our childhood lives. And I, you know, not to bring it up again on this podcast, since I know he listens a lot, but Dad wasn't around a whole lot. So your dad took it upon himself to invite me along to a lot of things, to be like, here's, you know, a positive male role model in your life and take you along on a lot of hiking trips, a lot of dangerous things that your dad did. John was telling me earlier about how he used to contemplate if he'd had to, like, jump through, like, a train that was stopped to, like, save himself time. And I was like, if it was your dad back in the day, he'd have been like, even if the train was moving, he'd be like, just pick it up, I'll just throw you across, hurry up. Your dad was very much like, how can I cut corners and still ensure these kids' safety? Because I'll never speak badly of him in that regard. Great guy. But he did some dangerous stuff, I feel like, with us.
He did. Tommy, you should tell him, what was the very first thing that he had you do when you got to Slippery Rock?
Oh, he came to visit me at Slippery Rock, and this is like a week before he got diagnosed with cancer, and he was like complaining about how bad his back hurts the entire time, and we see what looks like a pipe, like, coming from the top of the building, and he's like, that looks weird, like, let's go up and check it out. So we, like, climb through the woods up there. There's a locked fence, and it's like a sidewalk leading on this roof of this new building at Slippery Rock with all these security cameras. He's like, oh, let's jump over the fence and climb on top of the roof. So that's what we did.
He was like a daredevil points. I mean, awesome moments. I remember, like, going up Peter's Mountain, and there was basically when you got to the peak, you'd start to do, like, the descent down, and there was, like, that large, basically, like, slope where you just kind of see over where the mountain could see. And what your dad would do is he'd skate down, because that's where a lot of people just threw their trash. He'd, like, skate down that slope, pick up bottles, put them up on rocks, and then climb back up and let us throw rocks at it, which, like, every so often I wonder, I'm like, are guys and girls really that different? Like, it's, you know, maybe a personality thing. I was like, no, I can't imagine a girl ever enjoying throwing a rock at the bottle, but, like, that's, like,
the most satisfying thing in the world.
It's like my pinnacle of, like, childhood. I'm like, that was so awesome. We got to throw rocks at bottles from a long distance down a mountain.
You could feel him judging you if you missed, like, eight in a row.
Yeah, eventually he's like, he just, like, oh, you knocked that one over. Great job. Of course, Tommy ruined it once by cutting his hand open.
Just had to cut off the tip of my finger.
On what glass?
I picked up a bottle that was already shattered.
Oh.
I think I was just like, oh, look, this one's broken. And then, like, as I picked it up, the top of the glass bottle cut off a little nub on my index finger. And that was, like, my birthday weekend, too.
It was.
You were just always, like, whenever we had a birthday, it was just assumed that you were going
to
be there.
I had to ask this. This is actually in my list of things.
All right.
Did you guys ever actually want me to come to your birthday parties, or is this just something that happened?
I think we got so used to you just doing whatever we were doing that...
Edit a long pause in there.
Just, like, somehow edit in John and Tommy, like, suspiciously looking at each other, like, yeah, no, definitely.
We just kind of assumed you were going to be wherever we were going.
Eating our pizza.
Like, yeah, like, my dad would be like, oh, we're going here. I'd be like, oh, is Chris coming? And, like, it was a surprise if you weren't coming, usually.
Right, I would agree.
Or was it, is Fur just coming?
Yeah, yes. Fur. Yeah. It was Fur. He did call you Fur, probably.
I do remember that for a little bit.
That was because when I first, when we first met or whatever, I couldn't say Christopher, so I said Fur, and somebody thought it was adorable, so that...
I don't know if adorable's right, or we just wanted to make fun of you. Either way,
that may be more accurate.
I don't remember being annoyed by it, but I also don't remember it happening too often, so it must have stopped by the time I was like, six or seven.
Probably did.
Which also, by the way, I do not remember. I mean, you're 4 years younger than me, 3 years younger than John Dent. I do not remember any time where there wasn't John and Tommy. Like, you two were an inseparable unit who, through childhood, hated each other. I felt like, I don't feel like there was ever a point in time where I went out with you guys that you two didn't have an actual physical altercation at some point in time.
Definitely accurate.
Wow, that seems like a while ago. I haven't thought about it.
Completely every accurate. Tommy's like, oh, I remember.
Every Tommy's, Tommy remembers. He won a lot of those fights.
This building up is he's just getting ready for one ultimate revenge.
Oh, we talked about it on the last podcast. It was that moment when Sean checked me playing basketball. He said as soon as I hit the ground and I like pushed myself up, I was like, oh, that felt good. I'm going to do 1,000 more of those.
That's when you learned. You're like, it's nap time.
QI of the tiger.
Yeah, so that's what we wanted you, because we knew that if you were there, you know, we'd have somebody to talk to other than fighting with each other. So.
Yeah, that was a mutual ground between you, because I could relate to John on the nerdy interests, and I guess I related to Tommy by being like, hey, he's a slightly older male cousin, I must be cool in some way, until I recite all the Pokemon voices in a row in the car, and I don't recall getting invited to any more birthdays after that.
It might have been the last one.
I think it was it. After that, it was just exclusively snow camps, which are a pretty fun time.
They are.
I don't recall, your dad was always nice enough to invite me, and I mean, I never heard if there was any cost associated with it. I just assumed if there was, he graciously paid for it.
I believe that's true.
Very grateful for him. It was always a cool trip. It was like a week out of school, go up into the mountains at a college up there. Can you just move your phone away from the mic?
I think that one of the Larios brothers in the Super Larios podcast would turn his phone off. It's right beside the microphone.
He just showed me how to do it, too.
It's ridiculous.
Just
on. That's still on. It's still going to vibrate. Just don't put it
like
on
a wood
table.
Is this like a new phone or something? You know how this works?
I got it a week ago.
But
Motorola,
it's always very
Razor.
Cool.
It's an iPhone.
How dare you?
You can take pictures. The
memory I have the most of your time at snow camp was the one year when we went all the way and our church won the dodgeball championship that year. And
I didn't participate. Yeah,
you did not participate.
You are the biggest fan.
Biggest fan. He was there cheering us on. And after the first night when we won and found out we'd be going to the championship round, we won a couple matches. Chris took our entire church youth group to the little shack area they had and said, drinks are on me. And so he bought drinks for
like,
everyone on the team.
50-cent water and now they're lemonade.
Yes.
That was pretty generous of me. I didn't have a job. I don't know where I got that money from.
It was like the only $20 you had that weekend. And
it was
you spent
pretty sweet.
Yes, it was. Definitely.
Bunch of kids at church camp, like, cheers. And
it was cool because I got to go with, like, your church, like, the kids from your church. Who didn't know me, so they had no, like, reason to be like, oh, in his school, he's a huge loser. Nobody likes him there. And there, I was like, oh, this is just John and Tommy's funny cousin. I mean, in my mind now, I'm like, I really should have spent more time maybe talking to the girls instead of, like, making gay jokes to Will the entire time. I'm like, Will! How you doing there, cowboy?
That brings up some memories there.
But the thing that was always interesting about the camp, there was a religious part to it. Not a whole lot. You know, it was a lot of like, hey, go out, have fun, play football. It's the only time in my life I've ever been able to actually play football. It was flag football, but it was full, like, 11-on-11 games, which was pretty cool. John taught me how to be a lineman. It was pretty sweet.
You have a certain body type, though. You're still doing it. I was pretty terrible at it. I would just kind of grab the person
in front
of me.
I beat you the first time we did it. You were like, all right, now I'm going to come and try to get by you. You have to stop me. And I just tell, like, I got you there. And you're like, all right, you got it. You mastered it. I'm just like, I'm the greatest. I mean, I was like 300 pounds back then, so I was in the prime position to be a lineman. But the one thing that was always interesting was there was one point during the trip where they did sit everybody down, like, individually. And you went in and you had, like, a talk about your faith. Mm-hmm. And I guess they always knew I wasn't Baptist. It must have been a Baptist.
Technical terms, they're not Baptist. They would call themselves non-denominational.
Non-denominational. I don't know what it was. I just remember one time I went in there. Because the first time one of the guys did that, I don't know, I was in one of my more arrogant phases. So I was just like, none of this is real. Like, Noah's Ark couldn't have happened. So that must invalidate everything else in the Bible or something like that. I don't know why I was in that mood, but that was the state I was in. But the second time I went in, the guy was talking to me and it was like almost like a pitch. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm Catholic. So I feel like we're playing for the same team, essentially. And I remember just being like, it was like he was trying to talk me out of, talk me out of being gay or something like that. I was Catholic too when I was young and confused. I'm going to lead you along the right path. I was like, what's happening? What's supposed to happen from this? It's pretty sweet though. I love snow camp.
It's a good time. Yeah,
head up into the mountains. I feel like we should do it again. Like, it
won't be... We should go like crash a snow camp.
They got, I remember the kids there.
Drinks on me.
Drinks on me. Until you see that. Like, oh wait, beers are actually more expensive than 50-cent Dixie cups of water. Oh no. Do you feel like the drinks are on me motivated you guys? Like, it carried your momentum into the finals where you want it?
I think obviously the reason for our success.
Because definitely, I don't know if it was like, I said no. I must have had to say no, but I feel like there was some of you who were just like, look, he's so fat. He's going to get hit by dodgeballs all the time.
Who wants to play? Chris is out. Who wants to play dodgeball?
Look at him. He's so big. He can't move. Don't make fun of me, guys. I'm a big fan of snow camp. On the topic, though, of religion, your dad's Baptist, and I remember there was a point where I guess he had finally officially came out as he was with that. He was with the church.
Well, you would indulge for a longer thing. When he first met my mom, mm-hmm. He started going to church with her, and his terminology decided to embrace the same type of faith, and so he did that. Was that for a few years, and then shortly before he moved back up here, because we were living down south then, he started going back to Catholic Mass. Apparently, he was getting some pressure from his parents that he should be doing that, and so that was what he was doing when we came back up here. And so for the longest time, I don't know how much Tommy remembers, but what I remember was every Saturday evening we'd go to Mass. And then Sunday morning, we'd go to the Baptist church. And so my mom, what was the phrase she came up with? Was Bath-lick, is what she said. So we do kind of those both and kind of things. And then the time you're referring to is years later, he then kind of recommitted in terms of a relationship with the Lord than through attending the Baptist church. All
right. So this was a little bit after this. He called our house, and this was a point where we still had phones in the house. Like, this wasn't the age of cell phones. He was calling for our mom, but obviously it went to our home phone. Mikey picked it up in the basement, and Uncle Tom was like, hey, can I talk to your mom? So Mikey, I guess put his hand over the phone and, called up. But the way you phrased it was, Mom, new Jesus is on the line. Like, in a really derogatory way.
I vaguely remember this. I was so young.
I just really wanted to put you on the spot and make you look pretty bad.
I probably meant it in the best way possible. I do want
to say... He took you to so many games.
I do, and he taught me how to ride a bike, a bunch of stuff that my dad wasn't around for. I do want to say, I hear a lot of people use the term, try and live a Christian life, I'm a good Christian. Especially at my job, I'll call people and leave messages for them, and the voicemail's like, hey, have a blessed day and carry Jesus with you everywhere you go. And then I'll call them and tell them, some bad news about their car. And they're like, well, F you, F that, suck my A, that's not happening. There's a lot of people that talk the talk, don't walk the walk. Your dad, and your mom as well, but your dad just epitomized what being a good Christian always meant to me. Just always positive, even in a negative situation, he always tried to be constructive and just as nice a guy as I ever met, and I try to emulate him in a lot of ways. A really great guy.
We appreciate compliment him. I'm sure he would as well. He did say, perhaps, that he would listen to this one, so maybe that should have prefaced this conversation.
That being said, I've got just a couple of stories.
But I'm sure he would claim that that's just God in him, not himself.
Got two stories.
All right, definitely.
So one's I was 16 working at McDonald's, and I forget, my mom and grandma went out of town or something, so she couldn't pick me up. They closed at 10. I was supposed to be done at 11. Mom had worked it out with your dad beforehand to pick me up at 11. They ended up running way behind. I forget, someone called off, so I didn't get out till 11:30. I managed to grab a couple of those crappy McDonald's land cookies that are shaped like grimace, and hand them to your dad. Your dad didn't even say anything to me. Just ripped open the bag immediately, took a bite of the cookie. He was like, these cookies suck. And just drove back to my house in silence the entire time. To be fair, it was probably close to like 11:45. Like, he'd been just sitting in the parking lot for an hour waiting for me.
Wow.
These cookies suck.
I don't remember that story.
And then the other one was... you know, like, sometimes when Uncle Mike came, we would all do, like, the big family thing. Sometimes it was pizza at Grandma's house. Sometimes it was Old Country Buffet. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time where I was, like, probably 18, heavier than, like, 250, like, probably the fattest I've been. And I had this, like, Fat Farm fake jersey that was, like, purple and blue and black all the way down. And I remember, like, I think I'd lost, like, 5 pounds in the last month, so I felt I was, like, sexy walking around, like, Old Country Buffet.
I'm gonna treat myself.
Yeah. And I remember your dad seeing me and being like, nice jersey. Too bad you don't have the arms, pecs, or shoulders to pull it off.
Oh, wow. All right. Now, that sounds a bit more like him.
But that being said, he did teach me how to ride a bike. A lot of father-son events that meant a lot to me.
Tell me how to ice skate. Which I feel is less masculine when I say it out loud. But at the moment, I was like, what a cool thing.
They didn't say tell me how to figure skate.
Well, they did a little bit. I do a good triple
pounce. You probably used like a little like scooter thing as your ice skating.
I did. And then by the end of the night, I wasn't using it at all. No. And your dad said I was the most improved skater of the night.
He said graceful.
Which is still on my LinkedIn profile. He won't endorse it though. Which I feel
it's definitely good. It was background education of knowing how to communicate, particularly to kids and to teach new things, is definitely a great skill of his. And Tommy's pursuing education as well, so that's
awesome.
You know, that same type of skill set coming in there. Yeah. Learned a lot from him. He's a really good teacher. I even bring him in working at the church sometimes to teach the teachers at the church how to teach, because a lot of them, you know, it's not something you learn automatically. There are some skills and strategies of things, you know, how to say to somebody, if somebody says something wrong, how to not say, ha, you're wrong, but to affirm the person for their effort and then redirect the conversation. And then skills like that, that are things you kind of have to learn or have somebody walk through with you. And he's very good at
it. He's just such a positive guy. It's just positive energy just kind of radiates out of him when you're talking to him. It's always smiles and it's always like, how's it going? How's it? And he always remembers like random things you did. Like, oh, how's that person doing? And just really just a great guy. Like a lot of how I try to act is by emulating him.
My mom sometimes jokes she can't go anywhere with him around this area without running into somebody.
Oh yeah,
that he knows. And so we often joke that somebody's talking to the politician now. So if he ever had the inclination, he could do it. But
oh yeah,
as you talked about, his more positive side, I don't think he can handle that world, and I don't think he wants to or would have any desire to at all. But he has the people skills.
Maybe like Sims Town or like a perfect town. Yeah.
And it's just a shame that he's never going to see an Eagles Super Bowl win.
It's
just
never going to see one.
It's his curse. He was born in 1960. The Eagles won the NFL championship in 1960, January of 1960. He was born in December of 1960. Have not won any form of championship or Super Bowl since then.
Does it weigh on him at all? Is there ever a point when he's like, if I just switched to being a Steelers fan, I'd have six rings. Six!
I think what kind of saved him is that he was a huge basketball fan, so he got to see some Sixers rings. And he was a huge Larry Bird fan, so he got to see some
basketball.
So he picked two teams?
Convenient. You're allowed to be a Sixers fan, and then, like if there's a successful white player in the NBA, you're allowed to like whatever team they're on if you're white. Yeah.
I do
it's
feel
the
like,
Caucasian clause.
Did he have a poster of Larry Bird? I feel like he had like an he office in your did. House, and I feel like there was
just a picture
poster.
Of him.
Yeah, it may have been him.
It was Larry.
I remember he had one in his office. Yeah. at work.
Maybe a picture of him, but like with someone else's nose put on it after his got jacked up, getting crushed in basketball so many times. I feel like there was a story every year back when we were kids. Like Tom broke his nose again. How'd he do it? Playing basketball.
Yeah. Mom stopped asking how he did it. Yeah. Like after the second one.
I think it was four times he broke it.
I believe so.
I know I was with him the last time he did it. When he was, that was probably like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago.
It was playing with kids too, wasn't it?
Like it was playing with people. Like my friends my age. And so 5-6 years ago, like, Joe was playing with like 16- and 17-year-olds. Somebody elbowed him in his nose.
Was it
such
like
a big target? I know.
The Harrisburg Sean, just some kid with straggly hair. Check Big Tommy.
Check Big Tommy. Boom.
I recall, we went with your dad a couple times. He played games at the Holy Name of Jesus Church.
Yes.
Basically, it was the big gymnasium, and there was a stage there. And what we'd do is he'd bring us there, and me and John, I think we could play basketball. Maybe we did do a little bit. I mean, they used the full court, I think, for most of it. But when they were doing that, we made up our own game where, like, we laid on our backs and, like, kicked the ball at each other. And, like,
on the stage where there's, like, 15 grown men playing basketball. Like, whose kid is that? What a loser.
Like, what are they doing? It was one of those things where I'm like, in our minds as kids, we must have understood the rules to this. But, like, looking back, I'm like, what was the point of this? Or something like that. There was no, like, challenge to it or anything.
I think we used to play that game, too.
On the stage. Yeah, we used to. Now, Tommy and I, so we would go with him when he'd go to Holy Name. He also used to play on Thursday nights with some friends, and that was up in Middle Paxton, and so we'd go with him to that. But I'm sure there's a number, but to my mind, it's countless evenings of being in a gym, in a corner of a gym, or on the stage, Holy Name, just having to find some way to entertain myself while Dad was playing basketball.
Always the most imaginative of all of our cousins.
That's true.
If you walked up into John's room back in the day, it was, you had like the most impressive toy collection. I think because you just kept everything. Like, nothing ever seemed to get thrown away. You had like an entire diorama of your stuff throughout the entire room. So it was
everywhere.
Storyboards
everywhere, and on the ground, everywhere
in my room.
Probably. I remember at those when we would go to the gyms, it would always be the best thing ever if like the supply closet was left open, and we would go in there and just tear it to shreds. And now that's my job, be a PE teacher at a school, like, that drives me crazy when kids go in there and just mess it all up. And I'm like, I did that when I was little. The one story, I can't remember if I told you this or not. I don't think you were there, but it was at Holy Name with one of my friends, and sometimes the locker rooms behind the gym would be open.
Yeah.
And we would go back there and just, like, mess around, and, like, I don't know what we would do. But there was an attic back there behind the locker rooms, and it was always locked, but for one time, for whatever reason, it was open. So me and my friend, I think I remember what friend it was, we climbed up into the attic, and in all these boxes found, like, Holy Name cheerleader uniforms for maybe, like, the 50s or 60s. And we dared each other to put them on. So we, like, stripped down to our little whitey-tighties as, like, 10-year-olds and put on these Holy Name of Jesus 1950s cheerleader uniforms.
Think this up as the new theme song.
And I don't remember what we did, if we, like, danced together or what.
I think we kissed a little bit.
You remember that far, but you don't remember if you danced.
It might have been Bo Cosby. It might have blacked out after that.
Who knows?
But at some point in time, I definitely had on a Holy Name of Jesus cheerleader retro uniform as a, like, preteen and an addict in a locker room.
And what's preteen?
Like, yeah, I was probably, like, 12.
Okay.
It's like bare cusp of just not being a teenager.
Yeah. Like 12 and 4
been younger. It was probably like fourth grade. How old are you then? Like 9 or 10, 11?
10 or 11.
It was probably around then.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's damage control.
Jerry Sandusky might have been there.
Anyway, the deck's
really not sure what happened, but
anyway,
oh my god, if your dad had walked in, that would have been great. Yep. Like, one of his friends is like, hey, I got my kid here. Why don't you bring your kid out, and we'll, you know, do some doubles. Hold on, let me just grab my son real quick. He's a real manly kid. You'll see.
He's pretty tough. He might mess your kid up.
The thing is, even within that, like the Holy Name thing, we were on the stage in front of everybody playing, but now I was pretty in my own world as a kid, but my dad never said anything about what we were doing.
No, it was never, like, no one ever, like, looked up and snickered at us or anything like that. They were probably, like, this was also a time before internet or cell phones or anything like that.
Yes.
So they were probably just like, this is what kids do. They're just going to find a way to do something physical to entertain themselves.
We weren't on iPad in the corner or whatever.
This cost me nothing, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah. But the concept of being, you're in a room with maybe a gym mat and a basketball and have to entertain yourself, That's I'm gonna sound like old fogey. That sounds foreign.
Yeah.
Even now, I have trouble comprehending. Wait, I'm somewhere where I have absolutely nothing to do or look at, but this mat and this basketball. I can't even fathom a situation where
it'd be tough.
I'd be.
And I guess maybe we couldn't bounce it because there was a danger of it bouncing off the stage into the game. But it definitely, like, I'm like, I wish I could go back in time, like just as like a floating ghost, and like be like, let me see if I can gather the rules of crab ball or whatever we called it. Because it was like you walked on your, like it was like you put, or you were like doing a crab walk, and then you pick up the ball with like your legs. And, like,
I definitely remember that. Yeah.
Try to like kick it. Like,
was there a goal on either end of the stage?
Well, yeah. We probably designed a goal. Like we said, like, you know, like, these two blocks here are the
one with the throw up stain on it. That's the goal.
And then you guys invented hill ball, which you just played on the side of your house.
Oh, that was
with hockey game. Sticks. Yeah. Yeah. Not even hockey, it was baseball bats. Wasn't
I think they were just like sticks.
There were many versions. It might have been baseball bats because we had.
No,
that
was golf. We used to play golf with like a stick from a tree with like a little nub on the end and a gopher hole, and yeah. We would hit a golf ball, and that was our version of golf.
Now, our yard is not very big at all. I think the yard you all have here is bigger than the one we had, but. We made up a lot of games that we played there. Yeah. Some rules for how we did football and things like that.
We had our own imaginary countries.
Oh, that we did.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I think John like imposed this on me.
I probably did.
John's like, more history in your life.
Yeah, I'm like a 5-year-old and he's like, you need to create an imaginary country right now.
Tommy Lance. That's not inventive.
And you can't take Butterspies, Sylvania. It's already taken.
I remember those. What was your country name?
Wasn't it Whatchamacallit or something?
Whatchamadingo.
Whatchamadingo. Apparently, was it Australian?
Did you
own my country?
Did you have a whatchamacallit in your hand and you were like, oh, whatchamacallit? John's like, no, you need something different.
Did the president have to wear a cheerleader outfit?
Possibly, but they may not have known what happened after they put it on. So.
It was like, yeah, I think that cheerleader uniform was soaked with chloroform because I don't remember anything that happened afterwards.
I like the idea of you as a ghost in the Holy Name Church. I'm like, hey, this is fun. Where's Tommy? All I hear is your Mickey, you're so fine, coming from the locker room.
It's like I float up into the air, like, why didn't I bring my ghost camera?
I remember, this is like, real. This probably, Tommy is a baby, John, you're 2. I remember me and Terry going over to your place, and every time it would be, for like a 2 or 3 year period, where like all kids are just awful, you're terrible twos, we'd go there and mom would just like, all right, we're going to be outside, and your dad would be like, why don't you and Terry go outside and play with John Boy, it's tons of fun. And then you would just chase us around with a stick for like 2 hours until like pizza would show up, singing the Davy Crockett theme song. Wow. You know, and I assume
that sounds like exactly like something I would do.
Like Davy Crockett, that's a black and white television show. It's been off the air for 30 years. Where do you see?
John's
Davey?
Like, I still do this, but now it's adults and they don't like it.
I get arrested.
We had Disney sing-along videos, and one of them had the Davy Crockett.
Oh, is that why? Because I was like,
and
where
and
is
we
he
only,
seeing
we
this?
Only had a certain number of cassette tapes, so we would watch them repeatedly over and over again. Now, we evolved in our taste. I remember one summer, Tommy and I, back and forth, would alternate between Star Wars Episode 1 and Star Wars Episode 4. And we probably watched those every other day. We rotate which one
Phantom Menace
we'd watch.
And New Hope.
I feel like
the whole way.
Did you have a script or something for episode 1 or 2? I feel like you had like a storybook or something like that.
I feel like I heard about this too.
I remember we used to go to the computer lab at the school where my dad was principal. And they had Storybook Weaver, which was like you create your own story. And I think we used to create like Star Wars related stories.
Fan fiction?
But it would be like whoever was in the room. So it would be like us and then like the rest of John's friends that were there, my friends. Like we would create a story like in the Star Wars universe using us.
Yes.
And Chewbacca.
The reason I remember this is because if I was there, even if it was my friends or your friends, we would all go in there to write stories, and inevitably it would turn into stories making fun of me that you were very creative in their insults. But that's typically the direction the stories went very quickly.
I recall there was a couple times, it was almost like the most fun part of it. For some of your birthdays afterwards, or I guess some of yours as well, we'd go over to the school that your dad was principal at. We go to the computer lab, and I guess they had, like, networked all the PCs together so we could play Oregon Trail yes. in the same game with one another on our own PC.
It was the most amazing.
Everybody in the same wagon?
Everyone in the same wagon.
Oh, that's
and
sweet.
One person would be making the decisions.
Yeah. Oh, and that we would sucks. Sit at, like, opposite ends of the computer.
Yeah, we'd try to be as far away from each other as possible.
Like, you were not allowed to talk. You were only allowed to type.
Yeah, you could just react to, like, something like, oh, dysentery!
Who made the decisions?
Well, you would vote. There'd be a vote for who's
the captain. Okay.
But, of course, everybody votes for themselves. Yeah. So what the computer does is automatically assign someone to be the captain.
I think so you make deals. I remember making deals. I would go up to Chris and be like, listen, I'm giving you my captain vote if we kick John out of the wagon. Literally 5 seconds after we start our journey.
That was the thing, too. We'd all use fake names, so you didn't know who was who. So like one
there's
time...
There's only three of you.
No, there was John's
this
friends.
Would be like five or six.
John
so it would be a big group of us, and then it would be like, who's Burger King McSmash? He just kicked me out of the group.
Oh, you can kick people off the
caravan.
Yeah,
call
a vote.
Kick John
you can call
outside.
A vote to
and
kick
it was just,
somebody out.
It would be like 7 states into the venture, and then John's like, "Well, I guess I'm just doing the trail on my own now."
Do you have to walk it?
No, you get to like you start your own wagon.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That sounds awful.
Yeah, you have no supplies.
Enjoy New Mexico.
John wishes we got him to New Mexico.
Here's Tommy's cheerleader outfit.
That's part of the thing I don't understand about online. Gameplay is if you don't know the people, I feel that takes away a lot of the fun. What was so great about that was you knew everybody, and it was also they were right there. So if you did something to them, they could react.
I remember we'd go hunting and like you could only carry like 200 pounds or whatever. So if you shot like one buffalo, you were good. But we would just like drop like 30 buffalo, and somebody would be like, "Stop wasting our bullets!
It's time.
I
want like, to
break the high score."
Typical Americans.
You shot 3 bears. Stop. You know you can't carry that back.
And we couldn't move on until everybody stopped hunting.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Everything would say,
well,
we would
stop. So in the comments we'd be like, stop, stop.
Whoever rascally coyote is, stop hunting right now. This is ridiculous.
Oh, it sounds like so much fun.
It was. You just were too old. You couldn't hang out in our reindeer games.
How much older are you than
he's
Chris?
7 years old.
Seven.
Seven, okay. I was going to say, because I like... The only time I remember seeing you was when it was everybody together.
It seems like we're best friends, but there was an oddly long period of time where he did not like me because I was too annoying.
Oh, and every time I'd leave the house, just Mom would be like, why don't you take your little brother with you? I was like, I have like...
Jewish?
Almost, oh, don't leave without Christopher. Pick up some Baba Ganoush on your way. Get some lox and creams on your way out. It'd be like, Mom, I'm... not cool at all. This is just gonna... This kid's like an anchor on my coolness. He's picking his nose in front of people.
Hey, Mikey!
He's doing Pokemon impressions for nobody.
I was pretty impressed with my Pokemon impressions.
I'll give you a lot of credit in retrospect.
Are you?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I feel like YouTube was around. Like, you could have filmed yourself doing that and... You know,
I mean, it's like that's like all you need now is to do something Pokemon related. You become an internet sensation. That's what Smosh was. They filmed themselves singing the Pokemon theme song. Now they have like an entire business.
There you go.
He used to poop himself pretty regularly, which was a pretty big detraction to hanging out with.
Are we not complimenting me? Talking about how cool I am anymore? Oh, you bought drinks for everybody?
Except when you pooped yourself at 8 on a regular basis.
These things happen. What are you going to do? Just one last thought, though, on your dad. I feel like I really opened Pandora's box when I think it was the first year I started really watching football. The Giants won a game, and like I must have called him and was like,
"You kept it
go Giant!" Like, I invited my own demise because I definitely talked crap 1 year to him when the Giants won, and it was like 4 years in a row where the Giants just could not beat the Eagles. The same, like every game they just get just demolished by the Eagles, like 3 years in a row, and every time it was like, and that's the game, and I just sit there looking at my phone like 5-4
because we'd be on the other end sitting there like, call Chris as soon as the game's over. It's the Eagles, they still might find a way to lose, wait till it's actually over and call
them. It's just me like, how about them Eagles, like, ugh.
Speaking of that, we were at the Eagles Giants game this year.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations.
You got a ring for it, right?
No, but all of our defensive linemen have all 10 fingers. So,
hey, we got some sacks. Look, is that also the last one you had of the season thus far? It was like 4 weeks ago?
Yeah,
I think it was.
Third in the division at this point? Or
second?
Second?
Technically, terrible division.
Yeah, we're all bad.
Yeah. Somebody's going to be 8-8 and one losing the first round of the playoffs.
But I was talking with Chris earlier, it could be worse. It could be in the AFC South where the 3-5 Colts are in first place. Sure. So we'll still be better than them. We won't be the complete laughingstock of the NFL.
Just of the NFC.
But probably the way it seems to work out with this division, whoever last and makes it to the end will somehow win like their first two playoff games. Yeah, whether it's the Giants or the Eagles, get us all really excited and then...
Well, this is the prophecy year with the Giants.
Oh, it is the prophecy year with the Giants.
Go to the playoff Super Bowl again.
They win every 4 years. It's time
again. Pressure's like yawn, I guess.
Yeah, it just happens. I've already got my tattoo from the Giants Super Bowl 51 the Super Bowl victory.
I'm running out of back. There's so many wins.
So many rings. Oh, my. Any other Uncle Tom or John and Tom stories you want to throw out there for you?
I know you talked about it with Tommy on the Wire podcast. John Boy, do you remember it being a big deal when you'd come over to, like, when there'd be pizza at Grandma's? Do you remember that?
I remember the discussions. I really do not remember a lot about it, other than I remember eating a lot. But in family's defense, I ate a lot everywhere, so it wasn't really like it was a change.
Do you remember going there hungry?
I don't remember going hungry. I do remember, because when Tommy was talking, I was listening to it. He said about mom saying, don't eat too much because we're going to have a big meal later. And I remember hearing that phrase a lot, is, do not eat a lot at this meal because we're having a big meal.
Because there's food that we're not paying for.
Because we're going to eat in 8 hours. So.
Again, love Uncle Tom. Your dad's little cheap frugal.
And you know, I heard you guys have brought that up before. It's actually not coming from him.
Really?
At least not. It's my mom, actually, was one who's there. In their defense, when they started off, they did not have a lot of money starting up, and they were super frugal with it to try to get out of debts and things they had. And that tendency just carried over and is now expanded now. Even now, if I say, oh, I went out to eat to this place, I still get the, John, but you didn't have a coupon. We have coupons here.
It's my money.
I had
a coupon. $2 off 25. And like, but I spent 18, so it doesn't matter.
Half off a Friendly's dessert.
Yeah.
Does she have like just a gigantic thing of coupons?
Yes. Really? It's literally like an overflowing
shoebox. So she clips like coupons every
year? Yep.
Yes.
Wow. Yep.
She does. Yeah, so it definitely came more from her than my dad.
Yeah, for him, it was just, if we're not saving money, then unhappy wife, unhappy life. So I think that's where that.
Another thought just occurred to me of something we used to do as kids. We were all, like when Smash Brothers came out, we had the N64. We all played, big fans. You guys used to come over to our place a lot, and basically, instead of playing like games that required physical effort in our yard, we just played video games.
Yeah, that's right. And we didn't have video games.
And I remember one time I went over to your place, and this was at the house you guys have now. Went to the basement.
And they had a dad, and you're like, this is heaven.
I'm like, what is this? No, we went to the basement, and we played Smash Brothers just imaginary. We just imagined ourselves playing through story mode, punching the air like we were the different characters.
Probably.
You kind of see John going around like, Falcon Punch!
Yeah, it was like, I'm Kirby, punch, punch, punch. And we're like, we knocked off all the Super Smash Brothers, the Metal Brothers, and...
Definitely.
Like, I look back, I'm like, oh man, is that cool that we managed to find such imaginations to sustain ourselves as children? I'm like, we just went in the basement and played a video game because it wasn't there.
Played through the game. You wonder. But a lot of those imagination things, I sometimes wonder how, as you were saying, how silly it would look to go back and see yourself doing it. I definitely remember I used to be a crossing guard for school, cross kids as they go across the street. And on my corner, I remember going there, and regularly I would imagine I was in some war and fight some war. But I was pretty physical in my actions.
You can watch The Wire. Talk about being on a corner and a war going on. On my corner.
It was probably an old war. But I wanted to look it back, like, you know, what did I look like to people coming down? Because I just remember I'd be in my war, I'd be fighting people, I'd shoot people, they'd be like, oh, somebody's here, okay.
Well, kids, we're crossing the street.
I feel like every kid, like, even, like, as you grow up, you have things going on in your head.
Yeah.
But John was the kid who acted it out.
Just like, that's that video game, but certainly just taking those in. Even Jackson is similar to me. There's been quite a few times where we've acted out a video game that we've just played or done that. You guys remember at Nana's, or you guys always called her Grandma, right?
Yeah, we were the one
branch. Really got the...
I think our dad didn't like Nana, so he put a stop to it, which was weird, because his mom was not called Grandma, or was not called Nana either, so...
Okay. I remember in her basement, whenever we would have those big get-togethers, after we ate, all the grandkids would go downstairs, she had, like, an old kitchen set with all these, like, little plastic food.
Yeah.
And then she had that bathroom, and at the top, there was, like, a two-inch, like, space that you could see through or throw objects through.
Yeah,
so we would, like, split up the cousins, and there would be a group in the bathroom and a group on the other side, and we would just literally chuck, like, plastic food objects at each other.
It was so much fun.
Over the roof of this bathroom. I don't remember what the point of the game was. Like, I think we just played till somebody started crying because they got, like, hit in the head with a plastic pancake. Yeah, exactly.
Because they'd fill us with pizza and soda and then just shove us into the basement and, like, keep it down.
Yes.
On this TV that had four channels.
It was, through the garage, underneath.
It was the only time I've ever seen a TV like that where it was, like, a physical dial that you had to click, and it really only had, like, four channels on it.
I remember being in the basement trying to, like, find football games, like, messing with the antenna and stuff.
Try to find them on there.
Yep.
With the couch that we eventually, like, put into our house and took for a while.
Oh, God.
One of the chairs down there lasted in our family for an absurd amount of time. Way past its
prime. If you ever want to do, like, a sad tour of this house, there's still some old Grandma and Poppy furniture lying about.
I thought it was weird, too, that in the basement was all of Poppy's, like, tool stuff.
So they're still, like, unprotected.
All these kids down there. And
giant, like, saw blades.
Tons of, like, saw blades.
Drill bits. And, like, none of it.
When I was young, I went to the emergency room once or twice from accidents.
Oh, really?
Down there, yeah.
And it never got fixed. It never got changed. It was.
I definitely touched something.
Like, that's just John.
Grandma's like, just stop touching things.
I came so close to, like, because I'd always put my hand in whatever. What's the thing that you put on the side of the workbench? You just tighten it in the vise. I used to always, like, wonder how tight I can get this before I can't get it out.
Did you put your nose in there and stretch it out?
It never worked.
That's how it got in there. What did I get my... Ah!
I'm pretty flattered. You compared me to Nico on the Wire podcast. And then everyone's like, it's because he's got a giant pelican nose. And I'm like, no. It's because I'm strapping and tall. And
There was
you
also...
You know he wasn't handy at all, Poppy?
No.
That's the, like, it's what I heard from Uncle Joe. Like,
I mean, I know our dad is not at all.
Oh, yeah.
Is this are we not? I always thought it was just like, oh, me and Mike, you're just not mad. Like,
bet our dad. Our dad probably is pretty handy.
Yeah, we're not. He's taught both of us how to change the wheel on our car.
I know, like, Uncle Pat is. Uncle Pat's very handy.
Uncle Joe probably not so much.
Nah, maybe handy with the. Nah, I won't.
But yeah, I was just. Exactly. He's got a good dance flair going. I just because I always assumed because all that stuff in the basement, like, oh, Poppy's got to be
that's
Tim Taylor
thought,
from Home Improvement.
And it always surprised me then that, like, our dad, we would always mess him. We would get Pinewood Derby cars.
Your dad was
like,
such a man's man about everything.
Yeah, and he could not put together, like, this little, like, car.
Your dad's taller and in better shape than every other dad, like, at, like, your reunions. And then he's, like, trying to put a nail in, like, one thing, and he breaks his nose.
Probably.
I gotta go to the ER, babe. I'll be back.
I mean, he knew, like, the, like, very minimum basics about, like, cars. Like, you know...
But still very minimum basis, like, because I was in college once, and somebody, he was like my boss for what I was working for in college, he said, you know, he made it seem like every man changes their own oil. Mm-hmm. And he was flabbergasted that my dad had not taught me how to change my own oil. And
that was down south, too, though, right?
Yeah, granted. Yeah. It was down south, but I was just like...
Where?
I've never... Virginia.
Okay, but yeah, still south,
But I just... Never, that thought never crossed my mind. I was like,
I don't know how to change.
Go to get your oil changed.
Anybody in here know how to change the oil?
Our dad showed me how.
Yeah, I remember dad showing me.
I can't get under the car, the nose maybe.
Showing us how to check the oil, but not change. Change, you have to go underneath.
Yeah.
Is where you go underneath and you empty it.
It's not that bad. It's just there's not much space under there. Like, I don't see how anyone gets their arms out and done. Maybe if you have, like, a bigger car instead of a lady's Elantra, like I drive.
I don't know. The point is, I'm paying for someone to do it.
Yeah.
Oil filter's like $10, and then it's like another $12 in oil. It's like, why not just give the extra $5 and have someone do this for me so I can stay.
And if you know the person you're giving it to, you get
steep discounts over things. You know, you build a relationship with them.
But I feel like a man's man, if you tell him, like, he would be aghast to hear, like, four men in this room and no one's ever changed their own oil.
I just want Sean to be screaming at his iPod right now, like, I can change my oil! I can change my oil!
We're not talking about shrimp baskets at Krabby Joe's. We're talking about...
Where does he work? He's very nowhere, strongly right avoided now. This question when
nowhere
I was
nowhere right now.
That's why he avoided the question. I was like, oh, aren't you a cook at like Applebee's?
His mom's house?
He's like, so how are you?
Jack of all trades, you know.
I was like, all right, doesn't want to talk
cooking
about
really
that.
Have I'm going to move place. On. It's everywhere. I cook at any stove that's available to me. I'm really like a traveling paramour chef cooking.
Do any of you know how to change a flat?
Dad and I did it once, because we had to, but it was both of us together, and in my mind, I think I helped. I probably really didn't. But
I would use my phone and feel like I'd be able to manage to do it if I needed to put, like, a donut on or something.
Do you have the stuff
somewhere.
In your car to do it, though?
No.
That's a good question.
I can use jumper cables, so...
Red goes to red, black goes to black.
Let's get this tire inflated.
That's about it.
Yeah. And especially now with things like AAA or stuff like that. I mean, it's just a phone call and somebody's there if you really need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because I was in one car I wasn't familiar with and I got a flat and we still had some type of warranty. And somebody was there fairly quickly. Yeah, it was a couple years ago.
I had
borrowing.
Our big green van, the swag wagon.
That's cool.
Yeah. I had that with me at college for a while and it was on its last legs and breaking down all the time. And there was, like, a span of maybe, like, 4 or 5 weeks in, like, the middle of the winter. And winter's, like, it's just 4 hours from Harrisburg. But for whatever reason, it's, like, 20 degrees colder. Twice as measurable over there. But it would break down all the time. And I just remember, like, middle of, like, snowstorms, like, jumping this car. And, like, it just got to the point. Like, I had to learn how to jump a car. It was, like, secondhand nature. I was just like, boom, 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 boom. All right, thanks.
Can you make strong man jump my car for me?
It was terrible.
One thing you should definitely check out to see is Oregon Trail. Is that available as like a mobile game?
I'm sure. There's a site online where you can play the same exact version we used to play.
Now, of course, you can't do everybody in the same room playing with.
But you can do it like with your phone, like the three of you in like the same one, and just like a turn.
I bet there's an Oregon Trail app that you can.
Or something just like Oregon Trail.
It probably is. It's probably just more inconvenient than you probably want it to be. Like, to set it up to have it connect with people in a room so you can vote for, like, someone to be the leader and then play like that.
It's probably Facebook-driven. Like, it just looks to see who your Facebook friends are.
I think there is a Facebook Oregon Trail game. Probably.
There probably is. If there's not, hey, listeners, there you go. You create that, you've got four customers.
That'd be sweet to do it, and then you all pick, like, anonymous names.
Anonymous names now in our 20s, then we're just like...
I feel like we'd very easily figure out who was who.
I'm like, who's John Sucks? Like, you see Tommy, like, laughing.
No, we've got to all name our team John Sucks, so he doesn't know.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know, there's one who spells with an X, there's one that has two N's in John for some reason. Masterminds. Now, we've got some good stories out there, but, you know, with the Super Larry's Brothers podcast, talk about other things, figure, might talk about some current events and all that going on. Who are you guys voting for? No, I'm talking about Star Wars. Are y'all pretty excited for that?
I am.
Cautiously optimistic. That's
cautiously optimistic. What's the trepidation there, Jonathan?
Episodes 1, 2, and 3 is the trepidation there.
Even 3? I like 3.
3 was... doing the best it could to correct all the terrible mistakes.
Yoda, lightsaber fight with the Emperor, that's sweet.
I'm not denying there's cool moments. It's just, story-wise, it's just a big drag on it. Because I've tried recently, as best I could, to try to put the prequels out of my mind, and I watched the original trilogy, and you get a very different vision of what happened before those movies.
Yeah.
If you try to remove from your mind the prequels exist, you're like... And just hearing things they talk
about.
Some of
the mystique was nice. Well, yeah.
Right. When he talks about Clone Wars and how close friends they were and things like that. You just get these images together in your mind that
you watch it and you're like, love is a lot like sand.
Yeah, yes. So, I'm trying to be optimistic with it. I haven't been a huge, huge fan of anything Abrams has done. I appreciate his work, but the trailers look great. And they're saying all the right things, saying we're doing practical effects and... So it's driving it.
Trailers, I think even you guys said in one of your podcasts, it's, they haven't revealed really anything about the plot, which is great.
Running the Sith Empire.
By the way, I just want to note, for people who listened last week or wondering like what the image is...
I apologize.
Okay. So beyond the fact that it was annoying on the show, afterwards we found the quote-unquote image... Nothing to do with Luke. It's a silhouette of someone else in, like, the red and black. Kind of looks like they had the Vader helmet on. And one of your nerdy friends just made some joke like, oh, it looks like Luke's gone evil. And you just took it as fact and ran with it.
There's no need to bring this podcast to screeching halts.
No, you need to suffer this.
I was lightning in a bottle the entire podcast.
Really?
Dumb, yeah. I love Revenge of the Sith after... Because it's got those two... First of all, like... Obi-Wan versus Anakin in like a 20-minute lightsaber fight over a volcano planet is phenomenal.
It's very cool.
Obi-Wan wins that, drops by, picks up Yoda after he just gets his duff kicked by the Emperor. And it's like, well, Anakin's taken care of. How did you win? Oh, won my battle is. Emperor, we will never hear from again. Pardon me, swamp island I must move to. But I thought the third one was really good. Yeah, it, I mean, hey, there's some problems, definitely, amongst the new trilogy. But I do like the new one. I think it's looking pretty cool. I am curious to see why we haven't seen Luke yet.
Yeah, I have no idea. The evil theory does make the most sense, but, then, you know, maybe there's something...
He's a Skywalker.
There's something else going on that they're hiding there. But well done with their... This is probably the best promotion I've ever seen for a movie, is things they've done for this. They'd get everyone so excited without telling anything. As opposed to, you could look at other movies. The big example from this summer was the Terminator movie. The trailers gave away the entire plot of the movie in the trailer. So there was no surprise.
I mean, they might as well just at the end been like, Amelia Clark, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and just don't see it. Genesis, do-do-do-do-do.
Just how different this is.
Just go rent the second one again.
I said cautiously optimistic. I'm actually really excited, trying to tell myself to be cautiously optimistic.
Just in case. You don't want to get your heart broken.
Exactly. It's not a good
movie. I'm excited as a teacher to see kids get into Star Wars again. Like, I'm tired of them all wanting to be Avengers.
I like how you finished that sentence. Annoying. I was worried about how you started it. Just want to see kids in sexy Halloween costumes. I mean, get excited about Star Wars again.
Let's get more Slave Leia out there. I'm like, Tom, I have bad news for you.
And the retro
cheerleader uniforms.
From Holy Name. I have a few.
I took a box. I told my dad it was full of basketballs.
I'm wearing one now. Yeah, we've been avoiding that, but since you brought it up.
Guess now it's in the table.
This whole lifting weights thing is just a disguise. I just like my cheerleader costumes. That's it.
Anyone getting excited for any of the DC and Marvel stuff coming out?
Jessica Jones coming out.
Yes. Stop bringing... Are you really Jessica Jones?
I'm willing to check it out. I saw Daredevil, Daredevil was great, and so I'm willing to engage.
Going in order. Jessica Jones, Civil War...
Not alphabetical order.
Doctor Strange, the things that are coming out. You're
not
like,
order of relevance.
It's not what I was talking about, things coming out. Captain America doesn't come out for like 5 months.
What, Captain America's gay?
In my mind, he is, so I can be with him. Yes.
But yeah, I'm willing to.
All right, yeah, just the Rabbits TV show. Go ahead and talk about it.
I'm sorry, nothing can be as amazing as Gotham's been. Did you hear they're casting Mr. Freeze?
When have I ever been like, we need to talk about Gotham?
Well, you just poop on Marvel so often. I feel it's because you're a big Batman. Because
they don't have Batman. It's a game changer. Although, who knows? Just like you described about Star Wars, I'm very trepidatious about the Batman versus Superman movie. I hope it's good.
Is this okay for him to be talking about? I don't know. It broke up your last relationship, so...
What, going to the movies?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Was I that bad?
I just remember being very uncomfortable and just like telling her, like, I don't really know why that was that awkward. It's like, I swear they're not that awkward.
Did I get residual blowback from that?
And you walked over without her, I noticed. It was like, you're like, wait here, Toots.
Yeah. I was like, that's what cousin was weird at the movie theater. You wait there.
Well, I was like, why don't you marry this girl already?
Yeah. Now we're broken up, so it must have been,
What did I say? I don't know.
You were just like, oh, you got a girl who loves Marvel movies? That's definitely a keeper.
Did I?
No, yeah. I really don't think you said that.
No, it was...
I don't think you said
that
anything.
That would be so shit. No, for, like, a bachelor like me, that would be so shitty.
No,
me.
You definitely...
To put someone in that situation.
No, you definitely said it in that... Like, not that tone, but those, like, that same... Like, I'm paraphrasing, but it's very close to that. It was, like...
sound like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, you're like, Zoinks, you got a girl to see a Marvel movie. What else?
Put a ring on it and I Beyonce danced in the movie theater.
You got to the theater, then you had the Beyonce dance back.
All
to
the single Tommies! All the single Tommies!
You had the Beyonce back to get your $7 hot dog you waited 30 minutes for.
I probably said that's sweet, she's into Marvel. I feel like
that was close.
No, there was definitely the line, like, that's a keeper right there. It was definitely a really awkward line.
Might have been a little bit stoned. I probably left a pause where I probably should have just put a comma and continued with the thought.
That anyway, happens. Great to see you. I'll see you in the movie. It was just like, you two, when's the marriage going on?
I kissed her on the lips. Like, nice meeting you. Mwah. Ask Tommy about his cheerleader outfit. I walked away.
I'm excited for a lot of the Marvel stuff. John, you're...
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm starting to get a little weary of... the Marvel things. What I'm getting weary of is the setup. Every movie is a setup for the next one. And I just want to watch a movie and enjoy the experience without feeling like you're setting up the next five things that you're going to do. Everything just seems to be building. There's no resolution in a movie. They don't tell a complete story. That's what really bothered me with this past Avengers thing was, we're just setting up the next movie. No. Now, if you want to use the other movies to set up the Avengers... Fine. Those movies are going
to
suffer.
The Avengers to be the conclusion.
But the Avengers should be the conclusion of it, not your setup.
Yeah, for the I would agree.
That's why the first one was so good. It was just a complete story. Yeah. Sure, they had the end credit thing. That's fine. That's fine. Not 100% happy with it, but that's fine. But the whole movie was, this is setting up this. Yeah. Oh, that's going to set up that.
This is the start of Civil War. This is the Ragnarok.
Ultron gets kind of marginalized fairly early in the movie.
Yeah, we've heard your Ultron rants.
I'll keep it down.
Did you watch Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because I think you're the only...
Yes.
You're
the only human that does. Yeah. It's probably...
Is that what you're looking for?
Only person over 12?
Probably close to that. I've heard it was coming out. For me, the reason was Josh Whedon fan. And so, I'm going to...
Who is it?
That's his name. Josh Whedon.
I thought you said Josh Whedon.
No, Joss.
Okay. I've been sassed by many a people for calling him Joss.
I was about to get out of the way. Like,
I kind of wish you would. You're so close. we go in the movie theater.
I don't,
don't
well,
sit this close.
One side, it's like, then
it's
I'm closer
now.
To Tommy.
Yeah, this is better. Yeah, so I started, and younger brother and sister, Jang Dan, also. Watch with me. And normally, my dad, because he just doesn't want to move, also says it's there.
He's like, I gotta give up the remote for an hour. Yes, I'm watching this.
Yeah. So, it's now more of, we're watching it, it's what we do together, it's our show. Not really a huge fan, but enjoy that. We haven't watched Agent Carter over
that. Yeah, you can skip that. But, unless you're...
Is it like the black version of the show?
No, she's Captain America's girlfriend.
It's the Wire version. Not there season two.
Is. Bubbles is in it, though.
Bubbles is he?
Very, very briefly, he dies.
What's he? Oh.
Like one episode.
What is Bubbles?
Is he like clean cut or?
Yeah, he was. Do you remember? Oh, you didn't watch Richard Carter. There's like a. He's for some reason he's like a club owner. It's like the 1920s. Like, there's no black club owners in the 1920s. Chalky White was like an anomaly in the Roman Empire.
And he was never officially the owner.
And by the by, Eli is the boss in the show.
Okay.
So
Shea Whigham.
Yeah.
He was in
also dies, Playbook. So
he was in like, if you look him up, he was in like 10 movies in 2014. Really? Yeah, he was in one of the Fast and Furious.
Oh, he capitalized on his fame.
Oh, was he in?
He was in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street. He's the ship captain.
I think he was in
he is in Wolf of
It was
Wall
like
Street.
During that period of time where I was watching a new movie every weekend. I think I saw him like four times throughout the year. And like,
what was the Bradley Cooper one with the 70s and Christian
Hustle,
Bale?
American Hustle
he was in.
Yeah.
He was in a bunch.
He'll probably be in whatever that new one is. With
he's usually just forgettable enough that you don't remember him.
You mean the new Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah,
Joy.
Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper one.
Yeah.
Seems to be in with that little crew.
So is your dad into like Star Wars superheroes?
Not at all.
Not at all. Really?
Not at all. But
he's too busy playing sports.
And since Jackson particularly is, he tries to, because even with me, we can have a sports conversation. He and I. Jack cares nothing about sports, so he tries a little bit in that way to
to engage Jackson.
It's like, oh, the Wolverine. What's he do?
Yeah, he doesn't.
That just has to be your dad was, like, playing sports is probably the second he learned how to walk. So it's like, who needs comic books?
Yeah. Right.
Excuse me. Is this the next story?
Oh, no, I was going to bring up, I don't know if you guys listened to it, we did, we talked about one episode, how, like, Terrence Howard has invented his own math system. Like, he created Terryology, which is, like, the new...
Is it, like, an equation of how he got kicked out of the Iron Man movie?
Yeah, so once you hear him talk about...
Show late one day, all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, you're gone.
Day two, Don Cheadle's there eating your breakfast.
No, but it's like once you hear about it, you're like, oh, this kind of explains maybe why they didn't invite him back, where he's like, this is the last generation where kids will be taught the lie that 1 times 1 equals 1, where going to grow the crystals and show the children like the new, it's like almost, it's like a weird, crazy, like cultish, weird, yeah, like Scientology, stuff. Like just this weird mentality. And I was like, that's clearly, it was an interview with Rolling Stones just came out, and I was like, clearly this is the craziest thing about Terrence Howard. Apparently, I just didn't read the rest of the interview, and
is that
I
weirder. like on a scale of like Britney Spears to like Charlie Sheen.
Him talking about the crystals would be like, oh, I like Miracle Whip more than mayo. You're like, that's kind of weird, but okay. like the rest of the interview gets like, you're like, no, this man's like legitimately insane. So I guess he is talking about his ex-wife. And he has, like, a videotape about her. So I'm just going to read you a bit of this interview. His ex-wife's name was Pac. So he says, hey, I don't like to talk about my ex-wife because I don't like to talk about later negative things. And then later on, he called out to Pac, hey, honey, where's the blackmail CD? So Pac rummages around and comes up with it. Howard puts it on the laptop. It's a phone call, he says, between him and his ex-wife, Gent. Sorry, Gent is the ex-wife. Pac is his current girlfriend. That he secretly recorded. It starts off with her calling him a... There's a lot of colorful language in this,
the T word.
An F and T, as they say. She then goes on a rampage, threatening to sell tabloids some F and SE tapes of him having phone sex and dancing naked if he doesn't give her the money she is due, and is barking, you're an F and sociopath, everybody should know it, I'm so sick of the S that you've put me through. Quote, it goes on for almost 13 endless weird brain-frying minutes with Howard keeping his cool throughout, both on the recording and in the present moment. What he wants to demonstrate is that Gent was the pit bull in their relationship. Him, the passive pussycat, no matter what she might say in legal documents at court. I mean, well, let me do my Terrence Howard voice. I mean, does this sound like somebody's afraid of me?
Close your eyes.
It's like he's never. It's like he's here. It's Larry O'Stern and Howard podcast.
And it's true, Gent's rage and bile are so ocean deep you could drown in them, but she probably should have drowned that line in extortion. It's what has allowed Howard to go to court and ask that their 2012 divorce settlement, blah, blah, blah. But at the moment, all he can do is glare at the laptop, leaning in and hissing. This is Terrence Howard now at this point, speaking to the video recording of his ex-wife that he's listened to before. Quote, you F and B, shut the F up! Shut the F up! So he's in this moment in the interview, listening to a tape he's already heard before. She starts getting too personal, so he just like gets really close in with the recording. He's like, shut up! Shut up!
In something he had to have rehearsed before.
Like, yeah, like, it's not like there's any, none of this was spawned, like, sprung on him. He chose to, like, reveal this stuff.
Wow.
It's insane. He talks a little bit about, actually they talk to his wife right now, who's like, yeah, Terrence doesn't give gifts at all. He doesn't show me signs of affection. He like, when we started dating, he was like, I'm never going to give you anything. Just know it. And she's like, yeah, and he meant it. He doesn't give me anything ever. It's just not the kind of person he is. He doesn't let me talk to people, like, very openly, like, yeah, it's kind of like I'm trapped, it seems like. It's terrifying.
Even Derek Jeter gives out gift bags to the girls he sleeps with.
Really?
Yeah. Now he's engaged, though, so no more.
Oh, is
bags.
He?
Yeah. To the
like a supermodel.
The swimsuit but... model that's in those commercials with the horse, where she's like walking on the beach for like DirecTV.
Oh, for like cable or DirecTV or something. It's pretty cute.
Oh, and this is his winning quote. The sooner people declare me insane, the sooner I'll be free.
That's awesome. That should be on his tombstone.
Well, he's on...
He's in Empire. Yeah. Which, regard... Which,
does anybody watch that?
No.
No.
I'm not black.
But apparently 56 million people in this country.
Yeah, I know.
It's a lot of ladies at my... Like, old white ladies at my job. Yeah. They love it.
I can't grasp it.
I don't get it at all. That's why... It's like Sean messaging you. Like, he almost heard that crack somehow already. Like, fry oil!
No, he's talking about a Legion of Skanks thing. We're pooping on you.
Yeah, I don't get, like, 10, probably 5 times the amount of people that will ever hear The Wire are watching Empire right now.
Yeah. Sad world we live in.
Tell me, I'm telling you. Give it a shot.
I think you'd like it. It's worth it. I think you'd enjoy it. Well, a different train of thought, some you may have seen. Have you seen Supergirl?
I watched the pilot.
I've watched the pilot as well.
Is that the actress that one of the Republican candidates was like obsessed with?
Jeb Bush was like, Supergirl's pretty hot.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Ben Carson.
No, it was...
Ben Carson was sleeping.
It was... someone asked him, like, Jeb Bush, who do you think's... who's your favorite superhero right now? And he's like, am I being really asked this? Ha, ha, ha. Supergirl's pretty hot.
Wow.
Like, just say a name. Just be like, Batman. And just end the stupid
question. He is ridiculous.
Just for some reason be like, Supergirl's pretty hot. Like, ew.
That's the craziest thing.
She's like 24, you weirdo.
If you'd given me an hour, I couldn't have thought of a creepier answer. It's like a 50-year-old presidential candidate.
It's strange. Now, the show itself just debuted on CBS, I guess, within the last week. And... It's actually pretty good. I enjoyed it. The action in it's really good. Like,
really?
You know how Man of Steel kind of captured what Superman would be like in a fight? Like, you know, like really having that kind of impact?
Yeah.
I feel like they managed to capture that on the small screen. Like, they kind of have to do some clever editing to kind of, like, get around not having big special effects. But she's fighting... Like, I guess her antagonist is basically a prison ship from the Phantom Zone that crashed. So it's all, like, superhero people she's fighting. There's no doll makers, it seems.
But there's, like, dudes that act... Because I feel like they couldn't show dudes beating up
the first girl. Episode is a guy fighting her.
Beating her up? Wow.
Yeah, and he gets shots on her. So...
That's surprising. I thought they wouldn't want to show that. So it's, like, she just has to fight, like, super lame women villains.
No. Like, the first episode, she's... Hmm. I think that's a taboo that's kind of been removed, especially with superhero stuff.
Beating women on television? Thank God.
Superheroes in the NFL. Doesn't matter if you beat
rappers,
women.
Finally. And R&B, too.
That stuff's great. Everything else where she's, like, at home is steaming hot garbage. Just the worst.
They try and, like, throw a love story in there.
As dumb as, like, that was actually my favorite part.
No, they throw a love story.
Like, you know how Superman... works as Clark, you know, he doubles as Clark Kent, a news journalist.
Wait, Clark Kent's Superman?
Yeah,
spoiler alert, much.
He looks like Tommy in glasses.
This is a podcast, there's listeners.
So he does that. Well, Kara does the same thing, except she is not a journalist, she's an assistant at a fashion magazine. And just all the conversations she has with her co-workers are just the worst stuff. Like, it... She has to reveal to one of her co-workers, like, the potential love interest that she's Supergirl. She like, takes him up on the roof. She's like, I have something to tell you. It's like, oh, you're a lesbian, aren't you? Like, no, why would you have assumed that?
Wait, in the first episode?
Does he actually say that? Dude, very first episode, yes.
She's telling people she's Supergirl in the first episode?
Okay, yes. What's the point of the... They can just get rid of the side job, then.
Well, I don't know why she even bothers. Because it's not even like Clark Kent, where it's like, oh, well, he puts on glasses and kind of does up her hair. I guess she does put on glasses when she's at work, but...
Does she wear a lot of red and blue?
Filmed openly, like, without anything on her face. I guess she dyes her hair. I don't know. It's no one should not know, but... The principal cast is essentially her sister, who already knows that she's known since she was a child.
Birth sister?
No. Adopted sister. Jimmy Olsen, who most versions, Jimmy Olsen's like the quintessential kind of like nerdy white redhead.
Is he hosting the Tonight Show? Oh, Jimmy Olsen.
Sorry. Yeah, Jimmy Olsen. In this version, it's like a studly, attractive black man.
Jimmy Olsen?
Yeah.
Does he have red hair?
No. I don't think he has hair at all. He's bald.
Rock?
Yeah, it's basically like
it
a rock.
Howard?
It's a very weird interpretation of Jimmy Olsen, the cool, like, awesome Jimmy Olsen. Huh. Her boss, played by Ally McBeal. And then...
Oh, Calista Flockhart?
Yeah, and then...
How does she look these days?
Bad fine. She's alright. And then it's like the guy who works at her office. By the end of the episode, the only person who doesn't know she's Supergirl is her boss.
Wow. So
everyone else in the cast
She's like
knows.
Tweeting it out.
Really?
I'm Supergirl.
Is that in the first episode?
Yeah. Like in the first episode, everyone knows.
They just assumed that like the pilot was going to fail and they just wanted
to... No, it's a good pilot. I wouldn't have been ashamed of it at all. There's like a couple awful points. Just everything involving her like life as the assistant is just terrible. Because like the worst moment is there's a moment where she's... like save the day another time, and she walks in, and I guess the boss also is like she's like an entertainment mogul. Like she owns a fashion magazine, but I think she also owns like a television network. So the news is reporting like Supergirl save city, and it's the first time she's been named. So she sees Supergirl, and she like barges into her boss's office, and she's like Supergirl. And it's one of those things like yeah, I can understand why people are like I don't want like it's sort of degrading to a woman to call her Supergirl, but at the same time you're like. It's one of those names that I feel like if you didn't draw attention to it, you're like, yeah, it's, you know, it is what it is. Superwoman's like a completely different character.
Does she have a costume with an S on it yet?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, she has all that.
So it has the S on it.
Yeah.
And she's still mad about Supergirl?
Well, she's mad, yeah, the girl part. So she comes in, she's like, how can you do this? And her boss, like, gives this weird speech with, like, what's wrong with being a girl? I'm a girl, and I'm hot and rich and super attractive, and everyone loves me. So maybe the issue's with you. And I'm like... Clearly
those are my exact words when I put on that cheerleader.
Every day, just to start the day. Did I lock the door? Who cares?
I'm hot, I'm rich, and I'm super attractive.
It's like two of those are the same thing.
No, but like, it's like clearly talking to the audience, but you're just like, no, you're not a girl. You're like a 50-year-old woman. There's no reason she's
your friend. Plus, the Flockhart was, like, bony even back in her heyday.
You definitely should not be referring to yourself as a girl. Like, if you're going to, like, if you're going to call a show Supergirl, which is fine, like, yeah, we have to age her up. Because Supergirl usually is, like, a teenager in most things.
It's supposed to be, like, his little cousin.
Yeah. But, like, in this version, they're
like my John Boy and Tommy. It's like...
But, like, in this version, you're like, look, they don't want to go with, like a high schooler or, like, a college student. They want to age her up. Fine. You can keep the name. It's fine. It's still, like, she's still super. That's, like, the most important part. Or, like, if you're, like, just don't call attention to it, but to, like, do this in this weird way where it's just, like, what's wrong with being a girl? Like, in a just a super cheesy, god-awful speech.
That was the problem I had with the pilot was too much exposition characters saying what they were doing and why they were doing. There was definitely her sister, major spoiler alert here for people, works for a secret government organization that monitors aliens who come to Earth.
Checkmate, maybe.
Yeah, of course. So she says at one time, as somebody asks, why did you do that? She says, Will, you know I'm an expert at alien languages. And I was like, well, thanks. The only person who needed to know that was the audience. Certainly the person you were talking to had no need of that information. And everything was just stated in, like, that conversation, just hammered on there. So I appreciate the effort, what they were trying to do. A female superhero TV show would be great. I don't think that's...
You're going to keep watching?
No. I saw that pilot, and I'm done.
Keep watching. When does
Hawk Girl come out? They haven't put an official thing yet. She's going to be on. She's going to be on.
No, it's a real show.
On Green Arrow.
The star of it is from the same elementary school we went to, same middle school, high school.
Yeah. Really?
And then she went on the star on Broadway on different shows, and then she's going to be Hawk Girl, and it's on the CW.
On
right?
the CW's network, I think. She's already been on an episode or two of Green Arrow. I don't watch it, but I heard. And they're going to spin her off into her own show. I don't think it's going to be just a Hawk Girl show. They're making it like a lead.
Is that show? It's like the future of tomorrow, Wacky Friends or something like that. And it's like Fireman, Adam, like a bunch of like heroes I've never heard of.
It is that one.
She could replace LaShawn McCoy as most successful person out of Harrisburg. Really isn't saying much.
Yeah, I mean that's tough. I mean, you can't even really call him a McDevitt graduate when he graduated from another high school altogether too.
So. In Supergirl, is this the same universe where Superman exists, or it's a different one?
Superman exists. They haven't cast anyone for him. You see Superman.
John Boy, but go ahead. Okay.
Yes, he exists.
We're still talking about this Clark Kent fellow.
The way they set it up is like she was coming right behind him when they were fleeing Krypton, but she got stuck in the Phantom Zone, was delayed, and so then arrives on Earth
what did they say, 20, 24 years, some amount of time, like 20 years later, she gets there. So Superman's...
Phantom Zone.
Some other dimension thing, don't worry about it.
The point is... They're like on a trip, she had to put her makeup on, 24 years later, now she's ready.
She had a period, right. She had to stop. You know chicks.
But she arrives...
time of 24 years.
Yeah.
Superman's she already there. Old
cheerleader outfit on. Gotta look good when you get to her.
I'm hot, I'm rich, and I'm super rich.
Oh, yeah.
Lance about it. Yeah, yes, he's there, he exists, and he's known, but he's in Metropolis, and they're in some other fake city name that's it's just L.A., but, you know, whatever fake name they get it.
Central, or not Central, that's
National
Flash.
City or something like that? I don't know, it like doesn't
something generic.
The Gotham names are, the DC names are, have always, I found, ridiculous. I like Marvel and the, it's you like, know, this is New York City. Yeah, thank you, Marvel. Okay.
Was it like, isn't it Coast City? Is
Green Lanterns? Yeah. It's supposed to be like San Francisco. And then Star City, I think, is Detroit. Isn't that Green Lantern? Or a Green Arrow?
Something like that. And there's Central City is Flash.
Bloodhaven is like Camden, I think.
That's pretty harsh.
Well, that's where like Nightwing
That's where all went. The freaks come from.
That's where Nightwing went, and it's like some super shady town outside of outside of Gotham. So where else would it be but like some poop hole in New Jersey?
New Jersey, period.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why I like Marvel's real world setting with it. I mean, some of the other stuff is, you know, expanding on ridiculous, obviously, but other things are really grounded. I mean, Daredevil was, you know, I believe most of that could have happened, you know, and I wouldn't have known. It was a very small scale, and it was well put together.
Except the ninja fight. Why did that guy lose so suddenly at the end? Yeah, I mean, that was kind of weird, right?
Yeah, granted. The writing was what impressed me with that show, how they structured the episodes together.
Yeah.
And so you didn't, you know, kind of it was a dual origin story between Kingpin and Daredevil, and you were almost unsure of who to root for, and I thought they did a good job putting that together.
And it had the dreamy Owen Slater from Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, nice.
He's shirtless. Like,
you knew he wasn't going to be done after that. Like,
as soon as you saw him in that coffin, you were like, he's coming back.
Yeah, I know they
spoiler.
Opened
up the box. Let me take him out of the coffin. Put Margaret in there.
Not even a real coffin, just a box.
Yeah.
Were you a big Owen fan of Boardwalk?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I was always...
Did you go right from Jimmy to Owen? Like, oh, here's someone else to grab onto.
It was more Jimmy to Richard.
I couldn't like him after, because I was like, I like Jimmy too much, and I feel like I can't like this guy.
It definitely was on the same level. I would say Richard was like a close...
Well, Richard was... Like, yeah. Richard was a hero to us all. There really wasn't a show after Richard died. Yeah. Spoilers.
He's the Omar of Boardwalk.
Just instead of, you know...
Being you just had to deal with the whole season of it instead of two episodes.
I would say Supergirl's worth a watch.
Jumbo gives it a big thumbs down.
I know. I never thought this could happen. I thought I was a much more negative person, but
I've become very harsher with my criticism of entertainment things. It's almost become a joke at home now that, you know.
They're like, oh, TV critic John's here.
Anytime I see a TV show or a movie, if I've like watched it with Jack or Diane, and we get home, our dad say, "Hey, how was it?" And before I can even say anything, Jack says, "Well, of course John hated it, but let me tell you about."
Yeah, anytime John smoked. Anytime I go to movies with John, I know that like he likes to watch all the credits.
Well, first,
even if, like I'm always Googling, and I'm like, "Is there a scene at the end of the credits of this movie?" And I'm like, "John, there's not a scene."
He's like, "Well,
not
maybe,
a scene." But we always gotta stay. It's whatever. And there's, like, no talking. And, like, as soon as we stand up, it's always the same. Anytime we go to a movie. Every single time. And we've never talked about this. But there's no talking, like, once the movie starts. We stand up. We don't talk. The only two people in the theater, plus the guy sweeping. We walk out. And, like, as soon as we get out of the little hallway and there's, like, light, it's always like, "So what'd you think?" And, like, as soon as you ask that question, I know I'm not talking for the next 10 minutes. Because I'm just getting, like, Roger Ebert in person here, just laying down everything
first
that was wrong
off,
about the
movie. Cinematography-wise, real poop.
All right, when it comes to
the
makeup,
they're gonna do a crane
now
shot.
The score in this scene, and then he's like, finally, 10 minutes later, we're, like, home, driving. What'd you think? It was all right, let's go.
Tommy's like, as long as
2.5 stars. Would he shush you, do you think, if you tried talking to him during the movie?
Oh, definitely.
You also have to...
Or ignore. I've definitely done that. I was with some friends once, and one was trying to talk to me during the movie, and I flat out ignored him. I heard what he was saying, but I was watching.
Oh, you also have to mentally prepare yourself for John to jump at least once or twice during the movie.
Still?
Chris used to invite me to movies, invited me too, but since I jump at them, I haven't received any movies.
We saw Elysium. It's not a scary movie. There's one shot during the movie where like the like love interest is being chased by a bad guy and she like closes it, like her door and you're like, I think I'm safe. And then he kicks the door open and John's like, and I was like, well, that's pretty embarrassing, but that's, I guess, the worst of it. Then there's a shot later on in the movie. It's not like a jump scare or anything. A door just opens and John... I was like,
he faints.
I'd deny all of this if I could, but I can't.
I was like, have you taken the title from Sean of, like, girliest movie theater jump?
Jump scare's giving. No, I'll grant
that. What's the jump scare? It's a door!
It was a moment of tension.
It was a space door that was like,
shrink. He does the same thing in real life, though. Like, I definitely took pleasure as, like, a six-year-old kid, like, hiding in random closets around our house, like, wait for the really loud feet. I know that's John. Jump out right now. Ah!
Jack even said it today. I was home before I came over here, and I was doing something, walking around, and a couple minutes later, Jack comes up. He's like, yeah, I heard you walking around. I was going to yell at you to ask what you were doing, but I figured you'd jump all scared, so I decided to come up and ask you.
I felt
that was
bad.
A definite conversation 3 hours ago that we had.
What is it?
I don't know what it is.
There's a tension there. By the way, Sean is messaging me through Facebook right now. He says that he believes that you could take me in a fight.
Oh, no. Okay.
What's
I don't
John,
know. You are John.
You're like, wait,
John,
hold on.
Yeah, John.
I must respectfully disagree.
As one who has fought John many times, I've never seen you in any type of fighting situation, so.
I'm a real scrapper. I'm also a real cheater, too. So,
yeah.
There's no honor.
That may put you
in. You don't have your dad around as kids.
Way too honest.
I'm like eye poking, fish hooking.
Like nutshot, and you were winning anyway.
Yeah, I'm just like, I catch John once in the mouth, and then when he's on the ground, I start kicking him in the nuts. Like, take this, John.
You're winning. I got to make sure I stay winning.
Like, as I'm doing it, I start playing the Hulk Hogan theme, so I'm like, do, 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 do.
Never fight fair with a stranger. He's your cousin. Yeah, I'm sorry, John. I can't give you that one.
I would probably agree.
All right. Is there anyone here that thinks they could take Tom Hall in the fight?
He's a big dude. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. He's a big guy.
He's probably like 6'2". He's a little bit shorter than me, but not much.
Yeah.
He's definitely killing me on the scales.
Yeah. He's a big boy. Just had a kid, too. Congratulations.
Yeah, so he'll be tired for a while. Yeah, congratulations.
I'll just say that's where the pure adrenaline comes from, though. Like, now he has a paternal instinct to win and impress his son.
What's... middle name's Patrick. What's the first name?
Leopold.
Leopold. Leopold Patrick.
I did not mean to laugh when he said
that. LP tune.
Oh, he's laughing at your kid's name!
At the middle name, too. That's not gonna...
It's Patrick.
Uncle
Leopold?
Pat, you better get over here and
Leopold
settle some
Patrick.
Scores.
I think it's
Leopold Patrick. LP tune.
LP. Is like is he going by LP? Is that a thing?
Leo? I don't know. I mean, I'd rather call him that than Leopold. Leo's not
like
bad.
Leo.
I'm going to call him Uncle Leo, though. So. Uncle Leo! Like Seinfeld.
Kid who's 20 years younger than 30 years younger
you
than
you. You don't get it? Laugh! It's funny! Hello, Jerry!
Haven't you seen Seinfeld? Like, still, like, sucking his thumb.
Ah, you kids.
Oh, anything else on you guys' mind? Anything else you want to bring up here?
What are the odds out of us four? Who's the first one who's gonna have a kid / get married?
I mean, I'm hoping it's him. I mean, it's just like
a
concerned sibling.
I am 3/4 of a decade older than everybody else here. I would definitely like to have kids within 5 years. Right. Would be my goal.
Some money would be on you, probably.
Hopefully.
I mean, my money is secretly on you, though. I feel like you got it all together. You're gonna be like you're gonna be the Scott. I'm gonna call you the Corey of the side of the family. It's like a whole bunch. You're gonna be like the Scott of the side of the family. The guy who just gets things together, like really on top of things. Has a nice family. Everyone likes him. Everyone's like, what a great guy Tommy is.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Try to add compliments. Try to be nice. Yeah.
As that brings to the real question is, which between Chris and I is going to be a loser the longest? But that, I think that's what we're kind of building this argument toward, right? Is that the real question that you were asking?
No, no. I don't know. Christopher's still watching Supergirls. You're getting scared at Elysium. It's really like...
Neither of you guys really got a lot going.
It's really a coin toss. I mean, none of us changed our oil, so we're not starting off on the manliest
mountain. You wore a cheerleader uniform. How dare you?
I hope she listens to this, whoever you're dating. I'll make sure she does.
I'll do it
and I'll edit the hell out of that, too. So last week, I was in a cheerleader outfit.
He'll send a follow-up the day afterwards. Like, anyway, it's great you love Marvel movies. You seem like a perfect fit for Tom. Yep, you guys, nothing but the best in the future. Later, it's toodles.
Toodles, marry him. All the single Tommies.
Hashtag
all the single Tommies.
That should definitely be the hashtag when you when you post this.
That might be the title. I'm torn between hashtag all the single Tommies and Tommy the cheerleader.
I'm hot, I'm rich, I'm good looking, hot as shit.
It's like, I'm hot, I'm rich, I'm hot.
Look at me, I'm ready with my hair.
I got a butt that doesn't quit.
All right, anything else you gentlemen want to throw out there?
Yeah, nothing comes to mind.
I mean, we could talk at like another hour and a half about The Wire if you want. I feel like there were things left undone. Yeah.
I don't know if three was enough.
Oh, no, we do have...
Can't believe you guys couldn't remember who Vondas was and Spiro.
Spiro's, yeah. Yeah, that was driving me crazy the entire time.
Not only that, we also got...
I was like screaming in my bed.
We don't. We also say he doesn't show up. That's the thing. I have two of the people
who... He's in the fifth season.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's... I feel like I said that. They came back the fifth season and like you guys shot me down and we're like, no, they don't.
I was very combative. I also agreed with you guys. Like, yeah, Nico's not a bad character. And I just waited for Mikey to come back. Like, Nico! Both of them pick Nico! Those big goobers! No Freeman! No Lester Freeman at all!
Wasting a...
Freeman's not even top 10.
On Nico? Frank, I'll give you Frank Zabaka. Nico Zabaka is a joke.
I have Frank in my top 5. Nico's top 10.
He made my top 10. Nico doesn't make Zabaka my top 50.
What's wrong with Nico?
I'll put, what was Bubbles' crackhead friend? Johnny Weeks. I'll put that kid
the
over.
The one who dies.
In three seasons. Yeah, I'll put him over Nico. I mean, he's got way more screen time.
The first four episodes. Oh no, Omar's boyfriend from like the first...
I'll put all three. Well, maybe not the second one. Second one's kind of a was. But I'll put Brandon. I'll put, what was the other one? One of them had like a real ethnic name.
Miguel or something like that. It was the Spanish one.
Felipe.
What, no?
I just want to note, though, we have two of the people, the co-hosts, who were on that episode. I got like an email afterwards. Somebody listened, and they were furious at us because we got too many quotes wrong. They were enraged. And like,
it was pretty hard.
Up, like one word.
Yeah, it was definitely like, I feel like a lot of them were just like, you got one word in it wrong, but it was very much like, you messed up all the quotes, the great quotes.
See, there's two ways to do a podcast about a show. Like, you could print out all the quotes and like print out things to talk about, but we just went off the top of our heads.
Like a responsible person.
Yeah. You could prepare for it.
I clicked pause halfway through to remember.
Just start seeing movies with John Boy.
Or you could just like say random things.
We're more in line together.
You see movies with John, just prepare not to discuss it until you leave the movie theater and then not be able to talk for
another
10
awkward?
Minutes.
Like, have you ever liked a movie and been like waiting and John was
what a giant turd that was? Yeah, because I'm always like, what'd you think? And then if he liked it, I'd be like, oh yeah, it was good too. If he hated it and I liked it, it's not even worth bothering.
Birdman,
it's just
like turd man.
It's like, ah, you're right. That was terrible. I want to go get some food.
Well, see, I wish you would say it because then I would argue with him for the next hour about whether it was good.
What was the last movie you guys saw together?
Did we see anything this summer?
Magic Mike 2?
I think we were...
John's like,
oh,
Pitch Perfect.
The cinematography in Magic Mike XXL was atrocious.
You call that wiener?
Far too much gratuitous fan service, not enough development on Channing Tatum's drug addiction.
I think it's been a bit since we saw...
Where's Kevin Nash's arc?
Jane Dangan 2.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the last thing we saw was.
Yeah, we'd be going...
Last one we saw...
We had a disagreement about one movie this summer where we had Ant-Man. We had a difference of opinion on about that. Tommy was not that impressed.
I thought it was good, not great. I thought it was hard to watch it and not compare it to Guardians of the Galaxy, and I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was much better.
It's like, the way I was... Sorry, it's like, it's a good movie, but I get it in Redbox. Like, if I could go back in time, I'd just wait for Redbox.
I didn't think it was that amazing.
I enjoyed it. It's
a good movie.
Yeah, for me, the scale was what made me enjoy it much. This is a small scale thing. If the good guys lost this, the world's not going to end.
Yeah.
And I found that extremely refreshing compared to the other Marvel movies.
There's a reason why the Avengers didn't all rush into this scenario.
Yes. And so I enjoyed that small scale thing with guys who really aren't too impressed with what the other Avengers are doing. So I liked that drive, and I thought it carried it through nicely. So I enjoyed it a bit.
And Avon Barksdale and Jip Brissetti on the cops.
That was the best part.
That was my favorite.
That was all I cared about the whole movie.
And I was like, I was waiting for him. He gets one great zinger at the end, too. Like, that's a crazy-ass dog.
is that Jip or...
That's Avon. Avon's... Because Jip's actually, like, an important character. He's, like, the stepdad in the show.
Yeah, he actually is important.
So he actually is, like, a character on, like, the top five, like, build people. But Avon's just his partner. He doesn't get to...
Next time I see Avon, though. Like, he's still...
It's in the new Rocky movie.
I feel like he doesn't age.
He's his second in the... And then you're like, he's going to be like Rocky's assistant.
Even with The Wire, he's still Julius Danada from Remember the Titans.
Never saw it.
You've never seen Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man.
I think I've seen parts of it.
That's like Tommy's favorite movie.
It is my favorite
movie. Tommy insisted that all of his classes that he taught watched Remember the Titans.
Like, Mr. Toon, we watched this yesterday. Shut up. Watch it again.
What's that outfit in the corner?
So look over here. Watch the movie. Every day.
So it's worth checking out.
Yeah, it's a good football movie.
It is.
It's gonna be a young. Is it like just a young Wood Harris? It's tough to tell because he doesn't.
Yeah. He doesn't age.
He's like Richard from Lost.
I feel like it was either right before The Wire or even during The Wire that it must have been right before.
Remember the Titans?
Yeah, it was early 2000s.
Was it? I thought it was like late '90s.
It's like 2001, maybe.
Well, definitely before The Wire. Wasn't The Wire like 2004?
I looked it up. It ran like 2001 through 2008.
It's probably right before Wire.
I looked it up because someone threw out like 2005, and I was like, come on now. This is ridiculous.
Probably me. That's why I got the angry email like, you're wrong about everything. Did you even watch the show? 2000 was when Remember the Titans came out.
So yeah, right before. And how old is he?
You're
right there, and the laptop's in front of you.
Who would I be asking?
I don't know how this internet thing works.
The slice of pizza?
I just turned on this microphone.
I thought maybe you were asking a rhetorical question.
And the slice of pizza they didn't eat. Oh, wait, that doesn't exist.
By the way, John, I think the last one we saw was
Elysium?
It was Maze Runner.
Maze Runner, yeah.
How many times did he jump there in that one?
You guys saw Maze Runner together?
He asked, do you want to see Maze
Runner?
Yeah,
I asked, sure.
If somebody asked me if they want to see a movie, I'd go.
It was a better movie than
Neither of us can change oil. He jumps during movies.
We did see Inside Out together, so I guess I should...
And you cried when Bing Bong died.
I did not cry when Bing Bong
died. He cried when it was dead. He was like at that moment of like, if a sad song, like if Cats in the Cradle had started playing at that
moment. Any given time of the day, I'd start crying if Cat in the Cradle came. It was kind of like when I thought, when it looks like Xavier's going to die in X-Men Days of Future Past.
That really was.
I saw that in the theaters with like everybody, like our dad, Terry, Travis, and like Xavier's like, just remember how to hope again. And I'm like, no, pull together. Not here. You'll never hear the end of this.
It was like, if it happened, if he had turned to me and like we caught eyes, I'd just be like, you big sissy. You're a big, big sissy.
I was like, hold it together.
It's a fictional cat. Like, you don't, this is ridiculous.
Don't even turn away because you'll never hear the end of it. It'll be you cried in the corner. And
I might have to punch you just to satisfy things.
Says the guy that saw Maze Runner in theaters.
The guy who saw Maze Runner and didn't think it was too bad. But that ending was horrible.
John Boy.
It wasn't awful.
Yeah.
Have you seen Maze Runner?
Tommy's is like, this is the least conversation I've ever got from John Boy in a movie.
it wasn't a perfect movie, but it wasn't
you
a bad
movie. You just had to ask a second question.
Yeah, you had to ask a question. I'm off now. I'm going.
He like just,
now.
I'd love to hear it. You see him like pull out a very tiny scroll from
he's
his pocket.
He's like, Maze Runner. Let me see about
that. Let me dig up that mental file.
Starting with the acting.
Alphabetically.
Restrain myself. I enjoyed it, though. I was half expecting when the sequel came out to get another call from you. I was like, hey.
I haven't been to the movies in quite some time, but perhaps I'll Redbox it and we'll watch it.
Just so you can get some jump scares.
We'll see if it makes sense, because that was my big problem with that movie. I was like, that ending is ridiculous.
It did not have a resolution
at all. It couldn't. It was impossible. Like, we were watching it, you're like, there's no way they can satisfyingly explain why someone puts these boys in, like, a jungle... like dome.
Torture area.
Yeah, that like monsters sneak into and kill them, and the only way out is to run this maze that only is open during the day, and then they get a girl, and that's like the last one who's ever gonna come up, and then they have to kill the monsters to then fight other monsters and find like an extra path. Like, it's just, like, it's this litany of stuff that you're like, it's intriguing in the moment, there's no satisfactory explanation for it, and then you get to the end and they're like, oh yeah, well, you know, a virus has wiped out most of humanity and these kids are immune. So we're killing them to make them stronger or something. You're like, wait, what?
That's the entire resolution of that movie.
And that's the end. It's like they get rescued in a helicopter. They find out the world's mostly desert. And
by Littlefinger?
Yeah, he comes up in the next one. He wasn't in that one. I've been pretty excited if he shows up. Like, oh!
Hello, child.
Like, I almost feel like this one would then lead right into The Dark Knight Rises. Like, oh, he's in a plane.
I'm
on no schedule, Carter.
You look like a big guy.
That's the problem with a lot of those.
They're very painful.
A lot of those young adult kind of movies, they create a nice environment for action to happening, but the explaining of how they arrived at that state is just ridiculous to put it all together. That's why the best ones don't even attempt an explanation, or they just throw it away in the past or something. It's like the Hunger Games thing is, oh, there was a war a long time ago, now that we have our kids die and enjoy the movie. So that one, you know, since it was a mystery, it was keeping it going, but the end was not good resolution, and it was just a setup for the sequel, which, as I already talked about Marvel movies, that's a major issue. So I enjoyed most of the movie until the very end of Maze Runner.
Terry's upset with me because I'm not planning to see the last Hunger Games movie.
I haven't seen any of them,
haven't read any of the books.
I've heard good things.
I've taken Diana and I've gone. It's been our movie, our brother sister movie.
Did you jump at all? To.
I probably did.
Oh,
and I've seen
the Diane say anything?
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence. She's so pretty.
Watch out!
There she is again.
She seemed prettier. Well, they put her in a dress. Does Diane mention it at all if you jump? Or?
She would be one too, but she probably has given me a look. I think now I'm trying to think back. There was one I think that had one. Just she gave me
last Hunger Games. She pulls out an arrow. You're like, oh!
And I've already seen the trailers for the new one. Makes it look like there's some type of zombie creature.
You preparing yourself.
That's Philip Seymour Hoffman. They brought it back. Oh, the man. CGI is not as impressive as you thought it was.
Does he like count down from 10 like Mission Impossible?
It's more strings.
I didn't think they'd puppeteer him.
When they said he was coming back, I really thought they meant CGI.
Yeah, I didn't expect practical effects.
His wife really needed the money.
I'm mentally preparing myself. Like, okay, there's zombie creatures. One of them is going to pop out at someone, so I know a moment's coming. I'm already mentally preparing myself.
If I was with somebody who hadn't met you before and we were at the movies, I would just be like, it's my brother, he has Tourette's.
He jumps sometimes with things that aren't scary.
I would
scary
just say you have Tourette's.
He pops out, jelly beans! After
the movie, they'd be like, oh, he did really good with his Tourette's.
he only jumped that one time. That baby deer jumped out of the woods.
Baby.
We're going to see Spectre on Saturday. Have you guys been watching, have you guys seen any of the last Bond movie series?
I'm not a Bond fan.
I've seen...
Really?
What was the last one?
Skyfall.
Okay, I did
see it. Javier Bardem. Did you like it?
Yes, I did. I've liked all the ones with Daniel Craig.
Even Quantum of Solace?
That was my least favorite.
It's the weakest by far.
I loved Casino Royale.
Casino Royale's good. Nutshot's a little
too
much.
Yeah, I was like, that's still like one of the weirdest scenes to me.
I could have just heard that and gotten a scene from the outside.
It's such
the
a
beginning
weird
of Casino
torture.
Royale, though, is like up there on like top movie opening scenes to me. That chase scene at the beginning and like the construction zone. Remember that at all?
I think that's Quantum of Solace. You mean the guy that's like a free runner? That's Quantum of Solace.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a Kenyan with a bomb in his backpack. I could be wrong.
I think you're right. Casino Royale. I was watching a video about it and someone was talking about it.
Yeah, he's like one of those stunt runners that just jumps up the sides of buildings and stuff. It is pretty sweet.
I do like him, though. And then I'm sure you're all aboard the Idris Elba as the next Bond.
The longer it happens, the more scared I'm not going to happen. They're like, he's too old and black to be Bond. Well, I did put Stringer Bell's number one on my Wire character list.
Number one? You did put him number one.
As we recorded a podcast with Sean, he desperately should not have been sitting around to still record at that point in time.
Oh, yeah, like he was, you could hear his train leaving in the background almost. What was that? No, you got time. Don't worry.
Have another drink. He was like at the train station.
No, we were here, and I'm like, I'm just going to wait for him to tell us when to stop. It's not my train. I don't know where to go.
My girlfriend's going to be so mad.
Is that what he said?
If you could have been, I went in there with him to bring his bag in.
Wait, can we note now, we were like, we'll just wait until they eventually one day break up. Are we just going to just blast it right now?
Well, he says he's told her.
Okay.
There's no way she listens to this podcast.
Okay, so yeah.
So Christopher drops us off. Outside the train station. He proceeds to park and get hustled by some black guy and taking him to get gas.
See, like some guy came up and was like, hey, I need to get my, I need to get to this like shop. I need to get my tire over there so I can get my car. And I parked and like, I'm like, well,
can I buy some crack real quick?
Yeah, I'm like, and I'll get some weed off here or something. No, like I get in the, like, I'm like, yeah, I'll just drive there because Mikey needs to take him in and I assume we're just dropping Sean off and then I'll come back and grab Mikey once I'm done. So, I'm driving this guy, I drop him off, I get back to the train station.
Christopher's getting hustled.
Yeah. I gave him $20, said he was Mikey's friend.
Me and Sean walk into the train station, it leaves at 12:05, it's like 12:03.
Like as he's AM?
No, PM.
He wasn't going to be
aware. As we're buying the ticket, and he's still like, very slowly like, alright, let's head over.
Wonder where my wallet is.
There's the train door, it's like 12:05, he's like, come on in for some love, we do the hug. He walks up and he's like, oh shit, I really gotta get moving. And then he starts like very kind of like stoned, lazy running towards the train. Like how you imagine like Snuffleupagus runs when it has to. And there's like four Conrail employees standing there like, you're not getting on this train, kid. This train's done. And I'm laughing so hard. I like want to take my phone out because the look on his face of like just pure longingness. Like, but like, because he's throwing, he immediately goes into his act like, oh, but my girlfriend, she got plane tickets. We're going somewhere. I gotta get home.
Yeah, where are you going, sir?
And he's like, oh, I don't know. It's a surprise.
It's my girlfriend got to pay his plane tickets.
Like, it's not post 9/11. Like, there's any stopping a train once it's left somewhere. Like, he thought it was gonna work. And they're like, yeah, well, that's fine. But anyway, next train leaves in 2 hours. It was great. We immediately get outside to wait for Christopher because he's still being bamboozled by this guy somewhere to, taking him to Detroit or whoever he's going.
I just took him to Philly and back real
he's
quick.
He's gone a half an hour. We're waiting for him. He's like, all right, because he was already supposed to go home like 2 days beforehand.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to call my girlfriend because she's expecting me back. You were in a car accident. Christopher was injured in this car accident.
Wow.
It was his face that, like, when he turned after getting declined from the train, it was him like, my girlfriend's gonna be so mad!
Like, he went to Joe's Crab Shack and they're out of crab cakes. Like, he picks up the phone, he's like, hey, babe, it's me. We were in a car accident, Christopher's injured. Hello? Hello? Hello?
So, can't make it. Wasn't that his thing? I won't That's be there right. at 2. We got in the car. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, she's gonna be so mad!
That was great. And then he's like just immediately unloading on me, like, thanks for helping me take my bag out of the car, you piece of garbage.
It was like every minor stop. So he was like, why weren't you in the passing lane the entire time? Oh my god, you're such a slow driver.
Oh, it was great.
No one to be like, maybe you should have packed that last bowl, Sean.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, the next time we have Sean here, even though we offered to have him visit your dad, we'll make sure the next time he's here he does so. I feel that was rude. If it helps, he almost didn't say bye to our mom.
That's true, yeah.
But the next time he's here, I feel that'll be a good time for us to all gather together. It might be a little crowded on this couch, but I feel like we can do it together and have a...
You can make it work. I mean, we're local, so hey, I don't know. I can't speak for Tommy. He's pretty busy with what he does, but...
Anytime I'll be willing to come by.
You know, it'd be cool if we have a bunch of us here, just have that going on, and like, meanwhile, like three people playing Super Smash, and then just trading off people jumping in and out of the podcast. Be a little chaotic.
That seems very chaotic.
Like real Super Smash or like the imaginary? Yeah, well, yeah, I feel like that would be more entertaining.
Like, I'm like, I'm Link. John Boy's like, I'm Kirby. Tommy's like, I'm a cheerleader. Yeah. Like, we didn't bring costumes, Tommy. Oh, I did.
Can I just express how much joy I'm taking from this? That this isn't, even when we're talking about how I did imaginary games, how I have jump scares, but yet Tommy is still getting the worst of this evening.
That, he just dropped that like a glove.
I'm very impressed with you, because I would have definitely never told that story.
I thought that it would be some entertaining
conflict. I'd have found that kid that was there for it and made sure he didn't tell
him. Yeah, I'd have killed him. I'd have definitely made sure
that story. Right. I took care of him.
It's like Bodhi, like, he's like, oh, I can't let this guy talk to the police, so we're just killing you now. I saw you with McNulty once, it's all we needed.
Bodhi's shooting at Tommy, you ain't burying me in one of those projects. I saw that cheerleader,
he looked great in it, I know!
Oh, was that the under?
And Prop 2 of my extra edition of the Super Players Brothers podcast. We were talking about emails. You guys apparently have Netscape account or Net Zero accounts.
Yeah. Correct. Go ahead. What's yours?
Was set up in junior high. Okay.
What year?
I must have been, I think, 7th, 8th grade. I did this. So that was 2002, 2003.
Oh, wow.
I think. That's what we were talking about. We set these up. So mine is Eagle Meat. It's just an odd.
what would prompt you to take that name?
M-E-A-T?
It's a good story.
Is it meat like...
Not like I'm going to go...
Meet somebody. It's somebody, like, I love bacon, it's a great meat.
Yeah. Like the source of protein.
What was the thought process?
The other source of protein. Wink, wink.
Thought process is... Eagles are a favorite football team. I wanted something like that. And also at that time, I had just seen the second Lord of the Rings movie, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, where the one character's line is, looks like meat's back on the menu, boys. And I just thought that was a great line. So I was like, I like Eagles. I like the Lord of the Rings. It
wasn't like Eagle Rings.
Eagle Meat.
Eagle Meat.
And neither of your parents were like...
And it was unique, because I didn't want any... Because everybody else was... sign up things, and they would have to add all these numbers to it. And I thought, well, that's dumb. I want one word.
No one's going to take Eagle Meat.
Exactly. And nobody has. It
doesn't have to be Eagle Meat _ 867.
Tommy's, you said yours was possibly better.
Yeah, I must have...
Cheerleader.
I feel like Mom made us wait until we were in middle school to set it up. Like, I feel like mine was later. And mine was White Chocolate 13.
Oh, I feel like I heard that.
I do think because, I recall that.
Yeah, in middle school, my nickname was White Chocolate.
Based on
that I was like the white kid who was friends with all the black kids.
Did your mom like say anything? Did your parents like have any comments?
No, they didn't. They're just like, all right, that's what he wants.
White
chocolate.
Did they see like the cultural significance? They're like, oh,
I don't think
really
they
like
even made
chocolate.
That connection. I thought they were just like, oh, he's a chubby kid. Maybe, he likes white chocolate.
Maybe they're like, well, it's better than eagle meats.
Probably the exact thought.
One of them's gonna be a serial killer. It's not gonna be white chocolate.
If there's like a Chris Hansen email list that comes out one time, I'm not worried about eagle or the white chocolate. I'm really worried about eagle meat coming on there, though. There's always the names for those, like Chris Hansen ones. It's like, and he was chatting with Boner Rocket 48. He's just like, oh no.
Suddenly eagle meat came in.
Eagle meat came in. Yeah. This little boy thought he was going to be safe until eagle meat entered the chat room. Like, oh no.
This is an 11-year-old boy dressing up as a cheerleader when suddenly he's contacted by eagle meat.
This weirdo family.
Well, not any weird stuff.
The other calls himself eagle meat. Did you ever like mess with each other's accounts or anything like that?
No.
That was...
Did you guys always log off when you were done?
Yes.
Okay.
That was...
Yeah. See, because I would heard about a lot of people who would mess with... Yeah. At least I did. I'd heard people...
I was that guy in school who, like, if you didn't log off your student account, like, I was changing your computer background to something very inappropriate.
It was,
like, that was absolutely...
You probably
me.
Heard from it from us, because we used to have vicious fights over one of us leaving it on. Mikey would change anybody's, and it was a big thing. He used to change Terry's. And, he, you know, little sister, it's a high school girl, and he'd, like... change her profile to be like into chicks. And like yeah. she'd be furious at him, screaming at him.
Like hobbies bagel bumping whenever I can.
And I remember you changed mine once too. Again, I'm 7 years younger than him. So I must have been like 12 at the time you changed it, but I had like my quotes page, which is like the AOL profile, which was just like, it was just text with like a colored background. So it was probably like bright blue with like neon green text. But you changed my quote.
I think it was those colors.
It was, penis is a lot like cake. The thicker the piece, the better it tastes in my mouth.
He always threw like such a girly fit every time too. Be like, it's not fair, it's not fair.
It tastes nothing like cake. It tastes like cake.
It's way better. I mean, no.
Cake's so much better. In comparison.
Oh god. And then we did it like when we were living together as adults.
When we were adults.
When I was in my late 20s.
When we were adults living in the same apartment together, they were we talked about it in the podcast once. I think we might have even told this story, but we just had, it was like Hatfield and McCoy's. It was really like one moment away from one another, because if you left it up, it was me like the next day you'd see a post like, just woke up, covered in a like web of my own semen. Lols, everybody. And it would be like 20
your Facebook likes. Status.
Yeah, and it would be like 20 likes and like 5 comments from your like that person's friends too. Like, hey, Mike, great status.
And there'd always be like one from Aunt Lynn. Like, what?
And it was vicious, because then you just like, once it happened to you, you were like on high alert that like, God forbid I stepped away from the computer to go to the bathroom. Oh, then he'd like sneak in like the Pink Panther, and I'd just come back, and it was like, no! Like somehow just nailed it at the perfect time that all my friends had logged on to see a post go up and comment on it.
And just like find out like some message he had with one of his friends up and be like, do you ever think you go out with guys or girls because you're supposed to? And, like, question mark, send.
That paranoia still carries over for me today. Even at work, I have my own office. And I check my email, I log out immediately after I check my email.
It's smart.
Nobody's coming in to my office.
At a church, too. Like,
I mean, I do have a key to your office.
Oh, that'd be great.
You're lucky I haven't pranked you at all.
Oh, hello there, Eagle Meat, my old friend.
In high school, I took a technical drawing class. So it was like making like house blueprints on a computer. And the teacher had a program where you could see all the students' computers and like edit it and like take over their screen. And I was a senior. Most of the kids in that class were in, like, 10th grade. And I got along pretty well with the teacher. So I would, like, go back and sit at his desk and get on this program and just mess with other kids the entire class. Like, these little kids are trying so hard to, like, draw, like, a little, like, kitchen sink counter inside their, like, blueprint for the house. And I'm just, like, I'm just drawing the lines everywhere and, like, writing things and exiting out of their project when it's not saved.
That seems so mean.
Yeah, looking back, I'm like, wow, that was really, really mean. But
Coach Toon was a bully kid, so that's
kind of a bully, yeah. Actually, you know what? Now that I think
now
about
I'm teaching
it.
Kids not to bully. So
yeah. Be a star, kids. Yeah. Unless it's really funny.
Every morning, wake up and tell yourself, I'm hot and rich, and I'm good looking too.
And I'm rich and hot and rich and hot. I'm super hot.
So like shimming back and forth, like, where did I start? I don't even.
He's doing the Pat Benatar shimmy, like shoulder shimmy.
Bum, 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 bum. You know Pat Benatar. You know him probably. But
him.
I was,
Did you call Pat Benatar him?
No, I said you don't know Pat Benatar, do you?
Oh, so you're Mikey. You must have watched that video 100 times.
She's pretty dudely looking, though. That wouldn't be, like, the worst.
Yeah. It was the
mistaken years. Identity.
She's like, hit me with your best shot, because it might be a dude.
Because I might like it, like a dude. So, do you not work at the church at all anymore?
No, I still do.
Okay, so it's not too late for me and Christopher to fulfill our fantasy of double teaming that toilet one day.
It is not too late.
Oh,
John, you really want to get revenge on him? Just tell us what's a good time to stop by when he's there at night alone.
No, it has to be
before. I don't want a lot of collateral damage. I don't want to offend any churchgoers. Yeah, like, just call me. That's all I want
to
get.
It needs to be about, like, 20 minutes before a shift starts, so we can get it in, so he like comes into it. Like, I want to make sure he's the one that experiences it.
We bought a bunch of the black whoppers before they took this out of
the green poop.
Yeah.
Just to give you like a heads up.
You know, if
like,
they give us now.
He's had some
there's been a couple, you know, Mondays at church, I go into the bathroom, like, oh, man, Tommy's going to have a running now.
Cleaning bathrooms at a church compared to cleaning horse stalls at the farm show at 3 a.m., not even close.
Did you do that? Disgusting. Have you had to clean anything at mine, though?
I'm telling you, it's not as bad as some of the stuff I cleaned at the farm show. For two years, I worked the night shift at the farm show from 10:30 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Oh, my God, that sucks.
Literally, all we did was shovel out stalls and then, like, go out in, like, the freezing cold to shovel snow or, like, stack hay bales up and bring them inside.
The only good thing about the farm show is that there's food, but there's no food during
this.
We got
like, free potato donuts in the morning from, like, the old ladies. It was a decent job because it's a state job, so everybody takes hour-long breaks.
Oh, okay.
So, like, it was like, you know, go shovel horse crap for an hour and then go in the break room for an hour.
Use an old potato donut.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't terrible.
What are you doing in that break room? Nothing.
It paid really well for, like, a college student being home on break. Like, you made, like, over $1,000 in 10 days.
Oh, wow.
Or whatever. So.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad. And I found out, a little fun fact, that there's a tunnel leading from the farm show building to the Capitol.
Yeah.
It was built during World War II. I did not know that.
There's tunnels beneath most of the Capitol complex.
Yeah. Sounds like something that our dad would want to explore.
Yeah. He's definitely done it.
We might have to invite you along.
For old time's sake.
Fur, come in the tunnel Fur. From the Capitol.
You need
us?
To do that. You need to, like, send the text, like, Fur, are you coming? And I'm like, yep. And then, like, you start typing the text to Sean, like, Sean, do you want
No.
And then just delete it.
Yeah.
Like, he's at home and hiking and cave mining clothes.
Sean will be sleeping. Fur can come. I'll wear my cheerleader uniform. John will talk about movies, and we'll go find the Capitol.
And over the distance, we Mikey's nose from him trying to get down underneath his car to change his oil.
All comes full circle.
Splash.